You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Are you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting bits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple topics prepared for you, as well as a special guest. That will be joining us later on in the show. So, we got a lot to get to. A lot happening in the world of sports, in video games, a wacky side dish that we're going to cover, and then, of course, the non-fortune cookie odd news. So we got our work cut out for us on this week's episode. But before we delve into all of the topics that we want to talk about, we like to do a little personal bit to let you know what we've been up to. So, Mike, how you doing? What's up in your world?
I'm good. This weekend, we celebrated my younger cousin's college graduation. That was a big moment. Congrats to her. Had the whole family over, did the whole, you know, dinner and cake and everything. So that was a lot of fun. Also, recently, I've been diving into the HBO series Veep. I know this is like probably real old news because the show's been on forever, but it is just so funny. And so crude and crass. I just love seeing Julia Louis-Dreyfus in that role and the incongruity of thinking like, boy, that is not how people in politics should act. You know, that selfish and shallow and just really
it's
bitchy.
Funny. I feel like we've both been like going – we've been backtracking on HBO comedies because you did this with Veep and I did it with Barry.
Yeah, and you're watching Barry. Yeah. Did you finish Barry?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
It's great. Absolutely great from top to bottom.
Okay. Yeah, that's a more recent one. Veep is like old.
Yeah.
It ended recently, but that just gives you an idea of how far behind I am on television in general.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been doing. Rich, I know you have some pretty big news for what you've been up to, though.
Yes.
Recently.
I finished Good Omens.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, you thought throwing a curveball there.
There you go.
Yeah, actually watched Good Omens on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
And it's really good.
Is
I really enjoyed
it. The end of the world
yes.
one? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I've been seeing ads for that.
Yeah, the angel and the demon have to work together to try and stop the end of the world. It's really interesting.
Okay. Is that like a drama, a comedy?
Yeah, like one of those
like
dramedies.
A dramedy? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Michael Sheen is the angel and David Tennant is the devil.
Okay.
And what a special appearance from John Hamm.
Okay.
Yeah,
he plays a big John Hamm
fan. He plays a very interesting role in it, which is great. So I recommend and it's also short, too. It's only 6 episodes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that
so you can breeze through it.
Oh yeah,
it's definitely an interesting story, an interesting concept that it you know an angel and devil have to work together to stop the end of the world. I enjoyed it through and through, so
nice.
Highly recommend it. But I think the thing that Mike was referring to
yeah.
was this past weekend was the charity event, the 24-hour game show marathon, and wow, it was a great time. I was there the full 24 hours. I hosted 6 shows.
Nice.
And we hit $7,500 for a total, our grand total donation for Child's Play. So it was a very successful marathon indeed. I just want to quickly thank the sponsors that donated a lot to help us pull this off. MMCO Auto, Wanna Rub, Wawa, Rice Market, Weiss Markets, Turkey Hill. It was great. It was just a great outpouring from everybody. And it's just one of those things we're always humbled how big it gets every year. And this was our most successful yet, $7,500 going to Child's Play.
Nice. And that is such an awesome charity to donate to. I mean, helping kids in hospitals by providing games and toys and stuff for them.
Yeah.
It's just, I can't think of a better cause right there than helping kids, sick kids.
Yeah.
And it's also great that you guys get so many local companies and businesses involved in it to donate. It's just awesome all around.
Yeah. If you want to catch up more on what happened, go to GameShowMarathon.com. Go to our Twitch stream and you can catch any of the games from the past weekend. And follow me on Twitter because I have a lot of posts, and on my Instagram too, Twitter and Instagram. I've got a lot of posts from the weekend. So go check that out if you want to see some more about what happened during the Game Show Marathon week. Okay, so with all that in mind, let's delve into the first batch of topics that we need to get to for this week's show. We call it the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Sports coming at you in your face in this first part of the show. We have a quick update for you to talk about from last week, an update on Malcolm Jenkins.
Yeah, so last week we reported in the two-minute drill that Malcolm Jenkins, the Eagles' star safety and arguably one of the biggest and most vocal leaders on the team, was skipping the voluntary team workouts. This week, however, he has decided to report for mandatory minicamp. He's not going to be holding out for that new deal that we talked about him wanting. He does still want that new deal. And there's some more details about that. He's currently ranked 9th in terms of starting safety salaries. And I personally think that that's a little shocking considering the fact that he played every defensive snap last season. He led the team in tackles. And in his 5 years here with the team, he's been to 3 Pro Bowls. And he helped lead us to a Super Bowl in 2017. To put it in perspective, he signed his original deal. It was 4 years, $35 million. But since then, we've had players like Earl Thomas sign deals at 4 years, $55 million. So Malcolm Jenkins feels that he should be paid, you know, at the market rate. I think it would be a win-win for the Eagles to lock him up for another several years. I say make it a lifetime contract, do 5-year extension, you know, $45, $50 million, backload it so that if anything happens when he turns 35, 36, you cut him. You know, as callous as that sounds, it would accomplish two things. One, it would keep him happy, keep him on the team, and it would do right by him as well by paying him what he deserves, you know, at least a little bit.
Yeah, I would agree that he should get some sort of rework in his contract unless the Eagles don't think he's worth keeping around after this season.
Well, so here's the thing. 31, he's on the wrong side of 30, but how valuable is he still? I mean, he's playing at a very high level, very consistently, and he's that leader, too.
From what I've seen, he's worth the extension.
Yeah.
But there may be factors behind the scenes that maybe, you know, maybe they're worried about his age. Maybe they're worried about a decline in his production. So
I really hope they get something done. Part of me thinks that they haven't done a deal yet is because of this next story that we have to talk about. Because when you're signing one player to a big deal, you have to keep in mind all the other players you have to sign. And the biggest player that the Eagles had to sign was arguably franchise quarterback Carson Wentz. And wow, he got a new mega deal. And this probably delayed all the other deals that were in the works because this deal is a doozy. It was announced that quarterback Carson Wentz of the Philadelphia Eagles signed a 4-year extension worth $128 million. $66 million is guaranteed at signing. $107 million is the total guaranteed amount. All of this can escalate up to a max value of $144 million. It is just staggering, these numbers, these guaranteed numbers.
I believe it puts them in terms of average salary per season, it puts him, I think, in 4th or 5th, right behind Aaron Rodgers, but after Matt Ryan.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money average per year. But I also heard that the actual cap hit for each of these years isn't as bad as it seems because the way, I don't know a lot about NFL contracts and how they're structured, but because the way the bonus money works, his cap hits for each year is basically in the mid-20s range, which is really team-friendly when it comes to franchise quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like his yearly salary is in the mid-30s, but the actual cap hit is much lower than that.
Yeah, it's around 24, 25.
Yeah, I think it's 24, 25. That really helps us with being able to sign players like a Malcolm Jenkins.
Yes, and here's the key. There's probably going to be a new collective bargaining agreement with the Players Association.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And when that happens, it'll probably bump the team's salary cap to $200 million.
Yeah.
So if all you're spending is just 10% on your starting franchise quarterback...
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Everything I've read has said that this is a really team-friendly deal and that, you know, 2 years into it, it's going to look very, very favorable to the Eagles because Carson Wentz has set this bar and everybody that comes after him is going to have to meet or exceed this bar. And that's where we're going to get the better deal out of all this because you have other quarterbacks like Dak Prescott and what's this? I can't remember the Rams quarterback, Jared Goff, that need to sign their big extensions. And it really now, it makes it tougher for those teams, right?
Yeah.
So let's dive into it. I've heard, you know, murmurs that the Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott should get paid similar or better to the Carson Wentz deal. What do you think?
Well, I got to say, this is one of the reasons, actually my primary reason why I love this extension for Carson Wentz right now, because the Dallas Cowboys, sooner or later, and probably sooner, they're going to have to make a decision on whether or not Dak Prescott is the franchise quarterback for the next 5 to 10 years.
Right.
This puts the Dallas Cowboys on the hot seat.
And it actually gives Dak Prescott a lot of bargaining power.
Yes. When you look at the stats between Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz, they're actually pretty similar. They both have, career-wise, in the past three seasons, they both have around the same amount of touchdowns. Dak has 67, Carson is 70. Yards, they're both around the 10,000. They both just crossed the 10,000-yard passing yard mark with their last couple of games. So they're around the same quarterback when you look at you know their stats and everything like that.
Right.
Dak Prescott kind of has the right to say I should get a deal that's similar to this. And what's going to be interesting is the Dallas Cowboys front office and their coaching staff is going to have to make a decision on whether or not their recent success and their recent division titles are they due to Dak Prescott. Or are they due to other players like Ezekiel Elliott,
Amari Cooper
this year? You know,
let's not forget they had a top five defense last year. I hate giving them credit, but you just look at Dak and Carson play, and one of them looks comfortable, and one of them looks like a game manager. You know,
yeah. And I
feel like I'm safe in saying
Dak is decent. But the question is are you about to throw $128 million at him?
Yes, because it's the Dallas Cowboys. And if they don't, what do they do then? They have to go out and find another quarterback, which is either just as costly or sends them in the opposite direction when they have a whole bunch of key, young, talented players. So what I'm hoping is this is actually great for Eagles fans because I'm gonna say something probably controversial. Eagles fans, I say pay Dak and pay him a lot. Because he is just good enough to warrant keeping around, and he's not bad enough to jettison. And if you can pay him at the Carson Wentz level, it's going to mean that Ezekiel Elliott and Amari Cooper are that much harder to keep around, and you're going to have a Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown situation.
Yeah, they're all going to want money.
Yeah. They're going to have to pay those young defensive players, too. So this works for us. It's going to create a tough cap situation for the Dallas Cowboys. I almost feel dirty saying that. I'm like, ooh, yes, suffer.
No.
But
I truly believe that Howie Roseman made this move purposely right now. He knew that it was key that the Eagles signed Carson Wentz to this extension before Dallas and the Rams handle their quarterback
Jared
situation.
Jared Goff is the big one. Because I guarantee you Jared Goff coming off, even though it was a loss, coming off a Super Bowl appearance, in your first 3 years in the league, I mean, his asking price is going to be astronomical.
But that's another thing, too. Is he really worth it? Did he really have that great of a...
He did lead him to a Super Bowl. You could You can make the argument that Carson Wentz didn't lead the Eagles to the Super Bowl.
You could, but
I would argue that's disingenuous.
He had an MVP season, though.
Yes, I would say that's really disingenuous to say it was all Nick Foles.
Yeah.
I think Eagles fans that say that are really short-sighted and not giving Carson Wentz the proper credit.
Yeah.
But Jared Goff, his asking price, I wouldn't be surprised if we see that asking price climb to $140, $150 million.
Yeah,
which I'm fine. You know my opinions of quarterback contracts. You know, we got very lucky. The Eagles are very smart, and it's a team-friendly contract because there are other teams like the Minnesota Vikings that just piss money away at quarterbacks, and they do it in such a detrimental way.
Yep.
And so, I feel like the Dallas Cowboys and the Rams might fall into that trap. Definitely the Cowboys because they don't understand anything.
Well, it would
because you know Jerry Jones is going to get involved.
Yes.
He's going to throw $170 million at Dak Prescott.
It will be interesting to see what the Cowboys do with Dak. If they pay more money than Wentz's deal, go ahead. Because in the end, that will make it harder for the team to keep the rest of their talent, especially, you know, Cooper and Elliott. So,
It sucks in the short term.
This extension is a shot fired at Dallas, and I love it.
Yeah. It sucks in the short term to be like, oh, our quarterback isn't paid as much. He's not as good, quote unquote. People like to make that equation. But realistically, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
If Dak Prescott gets paid more.
Go ahead.
As weird as that sounds.
Waste $150 million on Dak Prescott.
Do it, Jerry. Do it. Do it. But speaking of big players making big moves and shifting markets and how it affects the other players in the market, we have to turn now to a completely different sport, the NBA, NBA playoffs, because there's one player
whose
current status is really going to shake things up for the NBA players' free agent market. We're talking, of course, about Kevin Durant and his serious Game 5 injury and how, I mean, just like if you watch the slow-mo and you watch the ripple of his Achilles tendon snapping, this will cause ripple effects across the NBA.
Yes, especially for this upcoming free agency. So first off, Game 6 is tonight, Thursday night, so make sure to watch and see if there will be a Game 7, because why not? The NBA playoffs go on forever. But, wow, this Kevin Durant injury has shook the National Basketball Association to its core for its upcoming free agency. Because you had all these teams that were devising these plans because we were going into this offseason with a lot of free agent talent available. Kawhi Leonard, Cade, obviously Kevin Durant himself, possibly Jimmy Butler. He might be leaving Philadelphia. Kyrie Irving.
Those are like four top 10 players right
Anthony
there.
Anthony Davis is on the trading block.
Wow.
There's been a lot of speculation that, you know, things could happen. But the key was that a lot of this needed to be sold as kind of a two-man package, you know, not just one player, but two, so that you can create like that trio, almost a super team mentality, that trio that could reinvigorate a franchise. Now with Kevin Durant officially out and out with one of the worst injuries an NBA player can have, a ruptured Achilles heel, this throws everything in the question. The New York Post, which follows the Knicks, their headline this morning was "Knicks lose Game 5" because the Knicks were one of the favorites to land Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
and
could a team still take a flyer on an injured player though?
But would they offer him a max contract?
Well, here's the thing: it could shift the market in the other way. They could be like, look, you're really injured. We're not going to give you max contract. You'll be lucky to get any contract. Well, here's our deal.
No. See, this is the problem. Somebody will offer him a max contract because there are desperate teams right now. The Knicks will offer him a max contract.
Do you really think they're dumb enough to give a max contract to a seriously injured
player,
though?
The Knicks, yes. They need any sort of positive. The Knicks had 18 wins last season. They need any sort of positive help coming their way. So
I see, if I were a GM, I'd call everybody's bluff and be like, you can't give a max contract to somebody with a ruptured Achilles tendon, because one, he's not going to play the next season.
No.
Two, you don't know if he's going to come back Basketball is a lot of cutting, a lot of hard planting, yep. a lot of driving. One ruptured tendon anywhere, tendon ligament, we know from football, there's always a possibility it happens again. So if I'm a GM, I'm going to call the other GM's bluff. So I'm going to be like, look, no max deal. You could pop that sucker, you know, opening week
yep.
of 2021 because you're not playing in 2020.
Unfortunately, I think you will have teams that are desperate to get him.
That's crazy.
But what this ultimately means is actually Kevin Durant may end up actually staying with Golden State after all this is said and done, because the first step in him becoming a free agent is he would have to turn down the player option in the last year of his contract for 2020.
Okay.
That was supposed to be a given considering he wanted to test the free agency market. But now that he has a serious injury and 2020 looks doubtful.
Right.
You don't want
to risk it.
Yeah. Get that guaranteed money. Go in with the player contract. I mean, it's looking more now. Kevin Durant is going to stay with Golden State. And if that happens, then you have this ripple effect that, oh, remember I said that we needed this like two-player kind of mojo game to happen? That's one less key player available. Do other teams get all of a sudden more conservative and be like, oh, you know what? No, I don't think we can risk this.
Or it might cause teams to go harder at players that were on the fence. Like, people might really come hounding for Jimmy Butler now.
Could be.
You know? I don't know. I'm just suggesting, you know, if Jimmy Butler's one of those 50-50 guys, if I understand correctly, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So now maybe teams desperate to find that second player, they're like really pushing him to jump off the fence.
It could you know? Be.
I mean, there's a lot of different ways that this could play out.
Right. But I'm having a feeling that with this kind of reset to the free agents, to the free agent market, I'm having a feeling it's going to end up being much more conservative than initially thought. Because
so you think teams are going to stay off the gas pedal.
Yeah.
Maybe delay their team building another year.
Yeah.
Is that wise, though?
Everybody's
another year older, another year deeper in their contract.
Well, see,
it could be the perfect time for you know, a sleeper team to strike.
Right. It's gonna depend on what pieces you already have in place. Another thing I could see happening would be Anthony Davis. I'm having a feeling his stock now just went through the roof.
Right.
If the Pelicans want to trade him and make way for Zion to come in and officially be the face of the franchise. I think Anthony Davis's stock just went up now with Kevin Durant being out. So it's going to be a very interesting free agency. This is one of the weirdest transitions I think that is going to ever take place from the NBA Finals right to free agency.
Yeah.
Because so many players that are involved in the NBA Finals could be hitting the free agency market.
Yeah.
You know, you have Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
Kawhi Leonard leaves Toronto. That's a huge piece.
Yeah. Those are the three biggest names on the court right now. Well, three of the four. Steph Curry.
Yeah. So it's amazing that Kevin Durant, you know, he only played 11 minutes and then
that was
injury.
Such a huge mistake.
Yeah,
such
coming
a huge,
back that
like,
fast.
I know that they were desperate to stay in it, but this is a career type thing, you know? I mean, Achilles, ruptured Achilles,
it's huge.
That is huge for a sport that you plant and drive and cut as much as you do in basketball.
You can almost practically name the players on your hand that have come back from an Achilles injury. It is very difficult to do.
It's just devastating. And he must be feeling so just in the dirt right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is funny because I'm having a feeling that might end up being the reason why he ends up staying with Golden State.
Which would just be a tragedy, right? Get paid tens of millions of dollars to be on a multi-championship winning team.
Yeah, to recover.
Oh, my
gosh. To recover from an Achilles injury.
To get paid to sit on the bench. Oh.
Yeah.
I know he must feel really low right now, but he needs to take a step back and be like, I could get paid millions of dollars to sit on the bench for a championship, you know,
yeah.
caliber team.
Right.
Perspective is all
so,
I'm saying.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this shakes out. I was hoping that we would get a final on the series, but
we would never be that lucky, Rich.
No, it has extended. So we'll have to give you the update next week on the podcast. All right, and one more sports topic to get to, because if that's not enough, the finals and everything like that, guess what? This weekend is golf's third major, the U.S. Open, at Pebble Beach. This is one of those that I think Tiger could make a run for. So with that in mind, let's go over the odds on who Vegas thinks is the favorites to win this U.S. Open this weekend, the third major of the year. Man, I can't believe we're already at the U.S. Open. All right, I got my Vegas list here. Are you ready to go over it?
I'm ready.
All right, so we got the back-to-back PGA champion, Brooks Koepka, at 8-1.
Okay.
Come on, say it with me. 8-1, Brooks Koepka.
Brooks Koepka.
Fun to say.
Yeah, he's been having a pretty good year or two here.
Yeah, more than pretty good. I mean, he might have the best two-year span of any golfer ever. I mean, he's won four majors and came in second place in another one.
Has it really been four?
Yeah.
Wow.
World number one. Yeah, I mean,
that's amazing. Yeah, so
he's had the best two-year run I think anybody's ever had.
Makes sense that he's the favorite.
Yep. Following right behind him is Dustin Johnson at 9-1.
You know, he hasn't done anything in a while, though.
No, but he had a top three finish at the PGA Championship.
Okay.
So maybe he's getting back into form. Then we got 10-1, Tiger Woods. There you go.
It's really refreshing to see Tiger back at the top of these lists, because it's interesting, because you said leading into the segment, this is one that Tiger could win.
Yes.
He would have never uttered those words in years past.
No, not the past couple years.
The comeback year. Pretty impressive.
Would it be something if he gets two majors this year?
That would be wild.
Yeah. Then we've got Rory McIlroy at 10-1 as well.
All right. He's got to earn that video game title there.
Yeah. Then we got Jordan Spieth at 14-1.
Okay. He's really hasn't done anything in a while.
But he had a top three finish as well at the PGA Championship. So maybe there's hope that Jordan Spieth is on the up and up.
Okay.
Then we've got Patrick Cantlay at 16-1. He had a run at the Masters, but it fell apart in the fourth round.
I have not heard that name yet in 6 years of covering golf.
Yeah, he's a relatively new guy.
Okay.
We also have previous major winner Justin Rose at 20-1. He's got some history there. Then we got Ricky Fowler, 25-1, the young gun.
That's a podcast favorite.
Yeah, he's the... I think you could make the case he's probably the best. He's probably the most talented golfer that hasn't won a major yet.
Okay.
Then we've got other favorites, Adam Scott, John Rahm, and Jason Day, all at 25-1 as well.
Okay, and all then, recognizable names.
And then we're wrapping it up here with Tommy Fleetwood Mac at 30-1 and Phil Mickelson at 30-1.
Gotta love the Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah. He's got to win. He's got to win at some point so we can play some Fleetwood Mac in his honor.
I mean, we should get in touch with him then and be like, look, this is what's at stake. All right? Forget about the winnings. Forget about the fame and the glory. We need you to win so we can play Fleetwood Mac.
Yes.
And I think after we just let him know that, he'll give it, you know, that extra 10% he needs to really push him over the top.
Yep. And then the Italian, Francesco Molinari, is at 35-1. So
okay.
There you go.
Repping Italy.
So that's our official odds from Vegas.
So who's your favorite, personal favorite? Who do you want to see win?
Who do I want to see personally win? Well, I would always like to see Ricky Fowler is so talented. I'm really surprised he hasn't pulled off a major yet.
He's the guy that won that most overrated thing, right?
Yeah, the golfers voted him most overrated, and in the next tournament, he smoked them all like 10 under.
Yeah.
Like he was just like, "Oh yeah, you think I'm overrated? Okay."
So you want to see him actually buck that trend and win an actual major.
Yeah, he's a very talented golfer. It's really kind of a surprise. He's finished second a couple times, but I think he's just there. He just needs to crack that glass, you know, break that glass ceiling and get there. But, you know, Brooks Koepka, if he pulls off another major.
That would be really impressive.
Five majors in 2 years.
That's... That's really
impressive. You're on pace now to beat Jack Nicklaus. Like that's Tiger Woods. That's Tiger Woods prime
right
stuff you're talking about.
You know, it's amazing, and I don't know, because maybe I don't follow it enough, but I feel like his name doesn't come up nearly enough. Like, you always hear about, like, Rory McIlroy has the video game series that he had. Everybody's always talking about Jordan Spieth, the young up-and-comers, you know. I feel like maybe it's just because I'm not involved in it, but I feel like Brooks Koepka doesn't have, like, the same, like, name recognition as some of the other guys.
Well, he does if you do follow golf. Maybe not to the common sports fan.
Right. To the common sports fan.
Yeah.
It's not a name that pops up
but
a lot.
I'll tell you what, if he gets a fifth major in the span of two calendar years,
it's gonna have to change.
Yeah, you're gonna have to keep an eye out for him. So there you go, and I'll keep an eye out for the U.S. Open this weekend, the third major of the year for the PGA, and I can't wait to watch it and see who pulls off the victory and becomes the next U.S. Open champion. All right, but for now we got to wrap up the sports. But don't go anywhere, because we got the entertainment entree coming up next, a side dish with a special guest, and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Excuse me, you have to divulge me. I have to play at least one game show theme after the game show marathon.
Of course, and it's very catchy, too.
Yeah, of course. Card Sharks, which is one of the revivals on
right.
ABC.
It's just coming back, yeah.
Yeah, and I got to host it at the game show marathon. So it was appropriate, in my opinion. Card Sharks is just a simple game. Anyone can follow it.
That's the higher and lower one, right?
Yeah, it's very simple. You play the trivia question with the survey. You know, out of 100 people, how many said this, and the other person takes that number, and they have to guess either higher or lower on that. And if you get it right, you get control of the cards. It's great. It's a simple show to understand.
Yeah.
So, one of my favorites. Make sure you check that out on the ABC revival of game shows that they're going through. I love it.
They're really bringing back a lot of them.
Why not? It's so much fun.
They are fun. It's one of those family-friendly type programs that anybody can get invested in, you know, very easily.
I'm excited for the Pressure Luck one as well, so I can't wait to see that one in
action. Definitely going
to
be tuning into that one.
Oh, yeah. So speaking of things that we're going to tune into, I think that's a good transition into the second part of our show. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
It's false. No way. Not this time. We created it. Not this time. No, not this time. It's totally made up. Pure fiction. It's fiction. It's fiction. We made it up. We made this one up. It's a made-up tale. It's a total fabrication.
Oh, yeah. So remember this clip we played a couple weeks ago?
Oh, yeah. That's Captain Riker doing that weird thing where they made up fake stories and people had to...
Yeah, fact or fiction.
Yeah.
So this is, so that was the the viral clip of Jonathan Frakes telling you that you're wrong for 47 seconds.
Okay.
Well, guess what?
What?
The fun keeps coming because someone now apparently noticed that at the beginning of every single story, or at least most of the stories, Jonathan Frakes kept asking like a question to the audience.
Okay.
So now someone did a super cut of Jonathan Frakes ask you random things. Are you ready, Mike?
Sure.
Here you go. 40 seconds of Jonathan Frakes asking you random things.
Have you ever had the desire to write your initials in wet cement?
Ever gone mountain biking?
What do you want to be when you grow up?
What's the right tip?
Have you called a plumber to your home lately? How superstitious are you?
How much money would it take to make you spend a night in a cemetery?
Would you display this as a trophy?
Do you have a pet?
Do you have a sweet tooth?
Do you believe in the power of a curse?
Have you had your hearing tested lately?
Planning a trip soon?
Can you remember the tallest man you've ever seen?
Do you love to go a-wandering beneath a clear blue sky?
Have you noticed what big stars real estate agents have become?
Are you careful with your personal records? Does your computer ever seem to have a mind of its own? Have you ever visited a Chinatown section in a major city?
Have you ever visited a flea market? Have you ever visited a truck stop? Did you ever have a job as a waiter?
Have you noticed how many successful restaurants are theme-based these days?
Yes.
It's so weird because some of them are so, like, casual. It's like, how you doing? And then some of them are, like, really, like not deep, but they sort of catch you off guard. Like, do you believe in curses? You know what I mean? It's just a strange spectrum there.
Yeah, it really runs the gauntlet.
Yeah.
And I couldn't help but notice, it kind of sounds like the clip from Airplane when the pilot asks... like all those ridiculous questions to the kid. Do you remember that?
I do not. No.
Well, don't worry, I pulled it up.
You ever been in a cockpit before?
No, sir, I've never been up in a plane before.
You ever seen a grown man naked? Joey, you ever hang around the gymnasium? Joey, you like movies about gladiators? Joey, have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
You know, it did sound very similar to that.
Yes. So, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm just making a weird correlation there, but I couldn't help it. So, that's what I tweeted out, that it kind of reminded me of the Airplane quotes.
It absolutely does.
But nevertheless, if you want to go find it, I have it on my Twitter page. Jonathan Frakes, ask you random things. So, go check that out if you want to go. And maybe make a response. Yes, no, yes, 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 no, no.
Oh, yeah.
See how many you got. Because it is a super cut, so there's a lot packed in the 40 seconds.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, I would do it right now, but unfortunately, we got to keep moving on here on the show. And we're going to get to the part of the show where maybe Mike will ask you a question or two as to what you're going to watch this weekend with movies, TV, and video games. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
Have you ever had the desire to write your initials in wet cement?
Ever gone mountain biking?
What do you want to be when you grow up?
What's the right tip?
Have you called a plumber to your home lately?
I love that one.
Yeah.
Have you called a plumber to your home
That's
lately?
That's what I mean. Some of them are so mundane, and so some of them are so, like, abstract.
That one sounds like the beginning of, like, an infomercial.
Yeah.
You have a plumber at your home lately? Call Jonathan Frakes.
He's exactly the person I want working on my toilet, but... You know who would be very much more exciting to have working on your toilet are the Men in Black. This movie, Men in Black International, comes to theaters this week. It brings the hit franchise overseas with a new cast, including Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth. Usually the Men in Black tackle extraterrestrial threats, but this time they find themselves against their greatest threat, a mole within their own organization. I'm really looking forward to this. I really like the two actors they got to star in this film. Unfortunately... it doesn't have any reviews up at the time of this recording, which is usually not a good sign if there's not advanced reviews. Oh, there you go.
I love this theme song to the original.
It's very much a product of its time. It's like that 90s R&B.
I will listen to this on repeat. I love
it. It's good. It's very mellow.
Yeah, it's a great...
I didn't realize how chill it was.
Yeah, it's a great beat. Yeah. So I'm a little bit disappointed if they don't use this at all at some point.
Oh, they would have to, you'd think, right?
I don't know. Well, because it's a new era.
Oh, maybe. Maybe they'll do like a remix version or something.
Maybe, but I'm not expecting it.
Yeah. But anyway, Men in Black International comes out this week. I'm really looking forward to it, even though there's no reviews yet. Still probably going to try and see it at some point. So go check that out in theaters this week. Next up in TV, the nostalgia is strong with this one. The popular kids' sketch comedy show All That is getting revived by Nickelodeon Saturday, June 15th at 8:30. Wow, I cannot believe this show is making a comeback. It features an all-new cast, but several original cast members are returning, including Cal Mitchell. And Kenan Thompson is also serving as the show's producer.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Did you watch All That as a kid? Everybody loved All That.
Yeah.
I always loved
it. And then Kenan and Kel had the spinoff.
Yeah, exactly. I remember quoting that show ad nauseum, the vital information for your everyday life. Remember those ones? Oh, just great stuff. So
Good Burger.
Good Burger.
That's where it started.
Welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order?
Yeah.
I mean, classic stuff. So all you 90s kids out there, go check out the All That revival on Nickelodeon Saturday, June 15th at 8:30. If you're looking for something a little bit more adult, though, tune into Marvel's Jessica Jones. It is the last bastion of Marvel on Netflix currently. Its third and final season releases Friday, June 14th. Jessica Jones, of course, was the second Netflix Marvel exclusive and was one of the best-reviewed Marvel series on the streaming service. But as we've detailed over the past several months, Disney, Marvel, and Netflix have been slowly dissolving their partnership in anticipation of Disney's new streaming service. Unfortunately, Jessica Jones is one of the shows getting canceled, but you still have this last season to at least get a little bit more Marvel content out of it. So go and check it out. That's Marvel's Jessica Jones Season 3, releasing this Friday, June 14th on Netflix. And that's what we're looking forward to this week in entertainment.
All right. I noticed Mike didn't do any video games. I think it's because all the video game news that happened was at E3.
Yeah.
So, wow. Mike, I know you're eager to report.
Yeah. I always like it when E3 comes around. It's always fun to see what the big companies are doing and what new games are on the horizon. This year was a little different because the big story that was on everybody's mind was next gen, next gen, next gen. What is the next generation going to be like? And unfortunately, we didn't get a whole lot of answers, but we did get a few. Google Stadia, of course, was one of the big new players in the arena this E3, and they did come out with some details for their streaming service that is set to launch, now we know, in November of this year. They also announced a Founders Pack for $130 that includes the Wi-Fi controller, a fancy advanced Google Chromecast that apparently allows 4K and all that really high-quality streaming content. You also get a three-month pro subscription, and this is neat, a buddy pass of the pro service that you can give to a friend. So you get a free 3 months, and you get a pass to give to a friend so that friend can get 3 months of the pro service as well.
That's very smart.
Very smart, yeah. They want to try and rope in as many people as possible. Now, this pro service that you're getting a free 3 months for is normally $10 a month, and what this gets you is you can stream up to 4K, 60 frames per second, HDR, surround sound, basically top-of-the-line quality if your internet can support it, because they also announced that you need at least 35 megabits per second to handle this. That's tough in the U.S., because in the big metropolitan areas like we are lucky enough to live in, internet speeds like that aren't a big deal. But in the middle of the country, where they don't have a lot of internet infrastructure, that's where it's a little dicey. There's a lot of the country that can't get to even half that.
Yeah.
And that's the real problem with streaming services. And even though we can hit those speeds, we have another problem in congestion. I mean, there's so many different devices and people that have Wi-Fi signals going out that you get a lot of slowdown on the networks. So even though we can hit those speeds, it's sometimes has a lot of lag and latency. So there's a lot of technical barriers still to overcome. Another issue with the service that I think could be a stumbling block, I might be wrong about this, but maybe, you know, you can give some input here. But I really thought that they were going to do a Netflix-style system, but instead they're selling games at full retail price, $60. And the thing is, you can just stream it on any device, anytime, anywhere. I don't know, maybe I was just expecting something different, but part of me is like, I don't want to spend $60 to stream something. Yes, the idea that I can stream it anywhere is compelling, but it's always not going to be as good as an actual download or a physical copy, you know? I think it would have been more palatable if it had been a Netflix-style service where it's $10 a month, stream whatever games you want, right?
It would have been unique and different compared to the Xbox and the Sony and the Nintendo models.
Right.
So unfortunately, yeah, it doesn't really set itself apart from the other players.
Do you think that Google Stadia did enough to usher in this new era of gaming? Or was this sort of like the half step we all imagined but hoped it wouldn't be?
It's
really tough.
There's going to be growing pains. That was going to be obvious. It wasn't going to be a smooth transition. I think Google has done everything that they possibly could for the launch.
That's a good way to put it.
But it may not be enough.
Yeah. I still think it's going to be a disruptive force, but I really think that I might be completely wrong on this, but I feel like everybody was really looking for that Netflix of games.
Right.
And that's not what this is. This is basically a Steam competitor where you stream it instead of download it.
It's more Steam than it is Netflix.
Right, because it's its own storefront. You still have to buy the games. It's not like I'm against buying the games. I want to support the developers. But I really wanted that next big thing, and this feels like a half step.
Yeah.
But we'll have to wait and see. There's still a lot that needs to be figured out. Like, right now, the launch in November is only the pro service. The base pack, which is the free for everyone tier, doesn't come out until early 2020. I think that's when we're really going to see what this service is capable of when the average user starts using it. Not, you know, the bleeding edge techie type people, but like the average people like us who are willing to wait for the free thing to see how it works out. I'm not dropping $130 on a mystery.
Right, yeah.
You know? So, Google Stadia, impressed, but I don't think quite enough. And that's sort of the theme with the whole E3 conferences this year, because Microsoft came out, and really all they had to do was say, here's the Xbox 2, here's the box, this is what it looks like, this is what it costs, this is when it comes out. And instead, from what I'm hearing online, they whiffed big time. They didn't have the box. They didn't have the price. And everything they announced, basically identical to what Sony announced 2 weeks before E3 in their Wired.com interview. The only thing we did get for certain is they said that the next-gen console will be releasing in holiday 2020. So that is the time frame that everybody's marking on their calendar. That's the next gen. We can start getting excited for that time, because right now we're in that lull where everybody is sort of hunkering down. We're not seeing a lot of movement because everybody's getting ready for the next big thing. And I feel like Microsoft, they really messed up here. They didn't have a lot of big, they had their annual Halo announcement, their annual Gears of War thing. But we talked last year how they bought 6 developers.
They didn't really use them.
Right, and they bought another one this year, Double Fine, who made Brutal Legend. I'm sure you remember Brutal Legend.
Yeah, Brutal Legend.
So they're going to be doing Xbox exclusives now. But they didn't really show anything that these guys were working on, any of these developers that they've been buying up. Obviously, they're working on next gen probably. But it just goes to the whole thing of like, you had a chance to really slam dunk this.
Yeah.
Sony wasn't even there. All you had to do was show up with the box and say, here it is, $400. Slam dunk. You're taking pre-orders right there, you know?
Yep, but fell completely short.
Is this, do you think it's accurate to say that they, even though they were the only console manufacturer there, did they mess up by coming out and really not showing much?
I mean, it's definitely disappointing. It's definitely, they didn't manage expectations.
Right.
You know? Because
everybody was expecting
Sony at least was just like, we're not going to do anything. We're only going to give you a couple of details about the PS5 in a separate interview, and that's it. We're focusing on the big titles coming up later at the end of the year.
Right.
Sony was at least honest, you know?
Yeah.
So, unfortunately for Microsoft, it's kind of like they didn't manage this correctly.
Yeah, they're getting a lot of negative press for it, for not doing enough and not showing enough. And it's weird in a way, but that conversation has turned back to Sony. I think this was Sony's strategy all along.
Yeah, and they're right. They were absolutely, they played it correctly.
Sony ends up kind of, I hate to use the term quote-unquote win, because it makes us sound like Sony fanboys, PlayStation fanboys, but I really do think that they won this by not even showing up. Let's talk about how and why. They had a whole bunch of smaller announcements before and during E3. They announced the Death Stranding release date. They talked about the PlayStation 5 details during E3. A whole bunch of games were announced that are going to be on PlayStation 4. You know, all these big games that are being announced, they're going to come out on PlayStation 4. So they didn't really have to show those games off. They announced, you know, upcoming DLC for some things like Crash Team Racing. And now Sony's in a position where they can play the wait and see game. You know, Xbox made their move, and it's the same exact thing as the PlayStation 5. And now you even have the issue of, for instance, the editor-in-chief of Game Informer tweeted out that said, in talking with developers, a lot of them say the PlayStation 5 is more powerful than the next-gen Xbox. So that's an even bigger backfire for Xbox. So now you have situations like that. And, I mean, to put it plain and simple, they still have the games. They're still riding high on the anticipation for things like The Last of Us 2 and Death Stranding. I mean, why look forward to holiday 2020 when we still have Death Stranding in October and Last of Us probably sometime in early 2020 and Ghost of Tsushima before the end of 2020? You know, so by not showing up and just continuing to ride that wave and just sprinkling the small announcements, I feel like they really did a good job of, like you said, managing expectations, giving people what they needed, you know, instead of hyping it up and coming out with nothing.
Yeah. Sony played it beautifully.
Yeah. They owned the conversation before E3. And now, because Xbox whiffed, they're owning the conversation after E3.
Yep.
Which is half the battle. The other half of the battle are the big games of E3. And there were a lot of big games that were revealed. Even though less than in past years, there are a few key ones that we want to talk about. Real quick, I want to mention Watch Dogs Legion. This is really cool. It is a stealth action game. It's the latest in the series. But it's notable because you can play as any non-playable character in the game. Any character you see roaming around the streets, you can play as that character. And they had a demo that showed off people playing as an old lady character with unique animations and unique voice acting. Really cool stuff. This is, you know, late generation tech where they're really pushing these consoles to the limit. I'm really excited to see just how they manage that system of infinite playable characters.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre to even think that.
It's got to be a huge install file.
Oh, it's got to be. It's got to be massive. I didn't play the second Watch Dogs. I might pick up the third one just to see what this experiment's all about.
Yeah.
That's the kind of talk you want generated by your game. The other big game that I know, Rich, you are probably really excited about is Star Wars Fallen Order. EA and Respawn showed a gameplay demo, and I got to tell you, I hate to get this excited about an EA game this early because you don't want to fall into the pre-order trap.
Yeah.
But it looks really, really good.
I'm the same way. I don't trust EA, but I definitely like the look of the gameplay demo that they had. It's
basically Uncharted in the Star Wars universe. It's like Uncharted and God of War in the Star Wars universe. I mean, you have the same sort of light platforming and, you know, puzzles, and you have the parkour jumping off of walls and stuff. And the combat looks really thoughtful is the term everybody's using, thoughtful. You're not just hacking and slashing. It's more like parrying and blocking. And
there's special powers with the Force that you can push or pull enemies. It's a little bit Mass Effect-y.
Yeah, it is a little bit. Yeah, when you think about, like, you know, the, what do they call them? The biotic abilities in Mass Effect. Yeah.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff going on that is really exciting. The big thing is they keep on hammering the point that it's single player and narrative driven. And we learned a little bit more about the story elements. It takes place after Order 66 as the Jedi are being purged. And this game is considered canon. And it even borrows minor characters, Saul Guerrera from, I believe he was in Rogue One.
Yeah, Forrest Whitaker's character.
Yeah, he's in the game. They said this is not a light versus dark type choice. This is a Jedi story with a defined character. You know, it's not a character that you create. This is a specific person. Which is really exciting because it means they have more control over the narrative arc.
You know what it is? They went back to basics.
Yes. That's a good thing, though, sometimes.
Yeah. I think after the massive calamity that was Battlefront 2, I think they realized, you know, in order to try and regain the trust of Star Wars fans, EA had to go back to the basics and just do a solid Star Wars game.
Yeah, and that's what this is shaping up to be. I mean, everything that the gameplay demo showed like it was pretty polished, and it shows that they're really committed to doing this as a story-driven game. You're seeing a lot of the camera effects and the cutscenes, and just it has that vibe of the type of narrative games we would expect from like a Sony exclusive studio, you know?
Yeah.
But it's EA and Respawn, so it's there's still that little element of like, ooh, let's wait and see. But I am really cautiously optimistic.
Yeah. Don't do any pre-orders.
Oh, no EA, pre-orders.
You know, EA is the devil of video games. But
yeah,
when it comes out, I'll be interested to see how it rates on Metacritic and Rotten Tomatoes.
Absolutely one to keep an eye on. The other one that you have to keep an eye on for all the Marvel fans is Square Enix and Crystal Dynamics' Marvel's Avengers. People have been dying to see this one released because it was teased several years ago and really hasn't done anything since then. But now we know that it releases in May of next year, so about a year away, right around the corner. And it focuses on the West Coast Avengers headquarters. And really, the story trailer was very brief. The gist of it is the Avengers break up because they've been outlawed after a huge disaster and what appears to be the death of Captain America. And then a few years later, they have to get the band back together and fight whatever forces, you know, causing such chaos. A few things that people are concerned about. No Hawkeye in the trailer. It's looking like a live service game, something like, you know, a Destiny or I can't even think of the other one right now. But something that has like the perpetual like grindy nature where you keep playing in the same open world. And the fact that there was special content teased for PlayStation gamers, people are worried. Well, some people are worried, some people are excited that this could refer to Spider-Man. Obviously, the PlayStation fans are very excited, and the non-PlayStation fans would be kind of disappointed if the PlayStation fans get Spider-Man and the non-PlayStation fans don't get Spider-Man. But what did you make of the trailer? Because I got to admit, it's been very divisive online. Some people like it. Some people are not a fan at all.
I gotta admit, the character models
is a little rough.
Yeah.
is that a detriment, though? Like, would you be like, no, sir, not, no way, just because of the character models?
No, but I'm worried that that's indicative of the game.
And that's sort of what people are saying.
It's like, it's the Andromeda effect.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You saw how bad the facial animations were, and everyone was like, I don't think this game's going to be good.
Yeah, if they whiffed on something you're staring at for 60 hours, what else did they whiff on in the game?
Right.
And you have to think that you're going to be looking at those character models for 60, 70, 80 hours if it's a live service game. Do you want to look at it for 80 hours? And what else could they have not done quite up to par? You know, because people are also criticizing the voice acting. They're saying it looks pretty generic. I don't like the argument that it looks generic. We only saw 3.5 minutes of it.
Yeah.
So I think hold your horses on the generic talk. We don't even know what the game looks like yet. But I will say the character models and the voice acting, it is a little worrying, but there is still a year of development. And apparently the developers are listening to all the criticism. I don't know what they can do in a year to make changes to the voice acting and the models, but hopefully they work on it somewhat. I'm still really excited for it. They keep talking about the single player aspects, the open world aspects. I mean, that's the dream, right? To be a superhero in an open world.
But the question is, are you getting Spider-Man or are you getting Superman 64?
Right. Exactly. And this is much like Star Wars Fallen Order. This is very much a let's wait closer to release and see what it's actually shaping up to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree.
So the big takeaway here from E3 2019 is there was a lot of cool stuff, but everybody's battening down the hatches and waiting for the next gen. And I think out of all this, Sony is in a prime position to come out this fall, and they usually do a big Sony PlayStation experience in December. They didn't do it this past December, but this December, it's the 25th anniversary of the first PlayStation. Now's their chance.
Yes.
You come out, you're like, here's the box. You know, buy it in 8 months or whatever. Pre-order's open now. They can rule the next gen too if they just play it right.
Yeah.
And so far.
So far they have.
So far they have. And call me a fanboy, I don't care. Prove otherwise.
Yeah, so far I think you're right. I think Sony has done the best job so far.
Yeah. But a lot of things to look forward to regardless. Very exciting time in video games.
Yes. Something else to look forward to is our next portion of the show, where we're going into a random topic that doesn't necessarily fit into the sports, entertainment, or odd news realms individually. So we call it the side dish. All right, so now we're here in the side dish, but before we officially delve into the side dish, I figured for this topic, we need some help to analyze this insane topic that actually happened. So I figured now would be a good time to bring on special guest Netta! How you doing? Woo!
It's my birthday this week.
Oh, it is? Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Spoiler, I didn't tell you when I came in.
Curveball.
Yeah, I feel like an idiot.
I'm going to be 48 years old.
Wow.
Wow. You're a spry 48-year-old.
I know.
That, you know what? That's important, too. I'm going to need that later on in this side dish. But before we get to that, I will. You'll see in just a minute.
Okay.
How are you doing in your, you know, other things that you do?
Well, it's my birthday this week.
Right. I know. Yep.
That's about all I have going for me.
Are you doing anything special for it? Are you going out? Or you?
I'll probably hang out with my parents.
All right, rip-roaring time.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it can be.
It can be a good time.
I essentially hung out with my mom for like the first half of my 30th birthday before people started buying me drinks.
Yeah.
And then you got shitty.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
You two were witnesses.
Yes.
So it can be the start of a good time. Don't knock the parents.
Your mom was there for a while, too.
Yeah, she was. She hung in there till the end.
You make it sound like she checked out at like 9:30. No. She was there the whole time.
Yeah, she was in it to win it.
She was in the thick of things.
She's dedicated.
She was watching. There's Rich as he's drinking another color of the rainbow.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
That's my son.
I think that might be the end of my extreme drinking career, though. That was rough to try and recover from.
Is that the cutoff?
I don't know. It might be. I don't know. I was hurting the next day. That's all I can say.
Well, listen, it's been 18 years since I've turned 30, and I can say that I can drink with the best of them right now.
Oh, wow. All right. Never retire then.
So don't give up.
That's right.
Keep trying.
You know what?
A long and illustrious career right there.
Thank you. You're giving me inspiration. Yes.
Good.
Continue the career. Here we go.
You can be the Tom Brady of drinking.
Yay!
Or the Brett Favre, where you can just quit a bunch of times and then get back into
it.
That's
right.
Oh, that's right. Brett Favre is my favorite, you know, football player. There you go. I could follow in his footsteps. I'll retire, what, 3 times and then come back.
So this is the first retirement.
Okay.
So now you've come back already. You went through that retirement really quick, Rich.
It was really fast.
You got to save the other two.
Fair enough. So, you know, it's actually kind of appropriate. We're talking about ages and stuff like that. Because I wanted to talk about this subject. This headline almost seems like something from the odd news, but it has to deal with celebrities. So I'm kind of using this as like a nice bridge between our entertainment entree and the non-fortune cookie odd news. And it is simply because of a tweet from, out of all people,
tweet.
Just, yes, a tweet. Out of all people, it came from Justin Bieber.
Okay.
Over the weekend.
He's popular.
The Justin Bieber clip?
The young kids.
What? No, I don't have a Justin Bieber clip. I'm
just
not
sing
familiar.
The song. Baby.
Baby. Baby.
Baby.
Yeah.
That's
baby.
I don't know.
Too late now to say sorry.
Is that a song?
Do you know the actual words?
That's all I know.
Oh. Yeah. I only know baby.
Baby.
Wait, that's a different song.
I don't know.
Though. That's
Is
when
it?
He had like his floppy hair. When he was like
the
14.
The floppy hair.
The only song I know is the one that goes baby, baby. And then I assume there's other words.
I mean,
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, no, I
is that is that that's Justin Bieber,
it
right?
It is, but I mean, you're a little bit off with your pitch.
I have no idea. I just know those two words, and that's it.
This is it, I think.
Yeah, this is it.
Then he starts rapping or something. Oh my God.
This is old Justin Bieber,
though,
right?
This is like his first song.
Yeah. Drake's in it.
How old is this?
It's 10, 15, 10.
Released 2010.
Wow. That was a long time ago.
Oh my God, it has 2 billion views.
Whoa. Why are you giving it another view?
Turn it off.
Oh.
Damn, Rich, you're part of the problem.
I am extremely disappointed in myself.
Now it's 2 billion and 1.
Dear God.
Rich, come on.
Why?
Come
Why?
On.
I hate this pop culture.
So he hasn't been relevant since 2010, I assume.
Sure.
So
what? Has he done other things?
No, he married Haley Baldwin and went out with Selena Gomez. I know all the pop culture these days.
Okay, so
you'll be a good person to comment on this story then, unlike me who knows nothing about Justin Bieber.
You're talking about Justin Bieber 10 years ago.
Yeah. So in other words, he has, would you say he's been relevant then? Or?
Yes.
Because I don't know.
He's fairly relevant by not being relevant and basically talking shit.
Well, then I guess that's appropriate then.
And this is, you know, one instance.
Yes, because over the weekend he sent out a weird tweet. And I'll just read it as it is. His words exactly. Quote, I want a challenge. I can't believe out of all people, this is who he chooses. I want to challenge Tom Cruise in the octagon. Yes. He says, quote, Tom, if you don't take this fight seriously, you're scared. By the way, he's using the wrong form of your.
Oh, I know. It drives me nuts.
And you will never live this down. Wow. Tom Cruise is the one that will never live this down.
Yeah, but isn't Tom Cruise like 60 years old?
Yeah.
Well.
And then follows it up with, who out there is willing to put on the fight? Maybe Dana White?
What?
Like, what? Yeah, what? Is he expecting this to be like a pay-per-view thing?
Well, you know, Conor McGregor said that his entertainment company will do it.
So that was a follow-up. Spoiler. Yeah. Conor McGregor's entertainment company says that he would put on the fight if both parties agree to this. But why is this even a thing? Why?
This was definitely like a drunk tweet though, right?
This is Justin Bieber trying to remain relevant by being irrelevant. Like he does this shit all the time.
I cannot accept the fact that this was like a tweet that he's like, yeah, this will keep me relevant in the news cycle.
Tom Cruise!
I swear.
Like his publicist and PR people was like, look, you got to challenge a movie star to a fight.
Yeah.
This will be a good idea.
I can't accept that fact. It's too bizarre.
He did the same thing. There's this guy, Shawn Mendes, who I'm sure neither of you know who that is.
I have no idea.
And
who
he's
that
a
is.
Singer. And like, I guess maybe they're calling, I don't know if they're calling him the Prince of Pop or something. But Justin Bieber was like, I'm the Prince of Pop. And he like commented on his photo and like everyone. Then this all shit happened.
But does it come
way
down to like an actual fight? Like, does he actually call fisticuffs?
No, I mean, I think he's on drugs.
Justin Bieber is.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Allegedly.
That would explain a lot then.
You don't challenge somebody like 30 years your senior to a fight and expect, like, and they're from two different industries. I don't know. It's like, it would be one thing if you challenged like another rapper, like, oh, like he's got beef with
somebody.
It is
a little random.
It is super random.
But it becomes, you know, with all the Mission Impossible stuff, he probably thinks he can fight.
Wait, what? I'm so confused right now.
He went through Tom Cruise.
Maybe he thought because Tom Cruise is like part of Mission Impossible, he knows how to fight.
He binge watched all the Mission Impossible movies this
that's
weekend.
That's probably what it was.
So this is the version of events: is he watched the latest Mission Impossible? And he's like, I want to fight that guy.
Yeah.
Prove
and then he's probably
metal.
Like, who's that guy? And then someone was like, it's Tom Cruise, and he's like, all right, I'll fight him.
Oh, I see the narrative that's developing here. Somebody was like, you know, Tom Cruise does all his own stunts, and he's old. He's really cool. And Justin Bieber's like, well, I'm really cool. I'm really tough. Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise got to pick out his wife from a lineup. That's where he got Katie Holmes from. True story. Yeah. Allegedly.
Scientology.
He's like, line them up. All right,
saying allegedly so I don't get sued.
Quote, unquote, allegedly.
Ooh, good save.
But nice. Yeah, he apparently picked Katie Holmes out from a lineup.
Wow.
So that's power amazing. Of Scientology.
Who else was in that lineup?
I don't know, but
we should find out who was in that lineup.
She gave him a kid and then got the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Because Scientology.
She did her duty and then she jumped ship.
Yeah. She got what she needed.
There's only so much crazy a woman can handle with Tom Cruise jumping on couches. And
Tom Cruise has all the crazy.
Yes. So first off, this isn't a good idea on any imaginative scope as far as I'm concerned, either on Twitter, whether it's a joke, whether it's a PR stunt. This is just bad optics all around. But this tweet has gone viral, and everyone has just been left scratching their heads. Why is this happening? That it has spun off into a separate meme called the 31 years older meme. Do you know about this part?
No.
So now people are taking this random tweet from Justin Bieber, using it on themselves, and trying to dictate what celebrity would you either box or fight who's 31 years older than you.
Sandra Bullock.
Is she 31 years older than you?
I don't know. Do I have to figure it out?
I don't know. But you know what? I would agree. I don't like Sandra Bullock. She's overrated.
She's in her 50s, so she's probably only a few years older.
According to your earlier statements, she's only like a handful of years older.
True.
Okay.
Agree that Sandra Bullock gets way more credit than she deserves.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Excellent. No, I think she's pretty. Listen, no. No, I'm allowed to make fun of her, not you two.
Why not?
Oh, because they're in the same age bracket.
Oh, is that why? Oh, okay, got it.
And we both have vaginas.
Wow. Okay. That's how it works.
At least I've heard that I do.
Rich, we live in an enlightened 21st century, okay?
Very woke.
You know, yeah, very, very woke on this podcast.
Well, anyway, so the point of this is I found a couple of lists here that we can go over. So first I'll do us. We're both around 30.
Yeah.
I'm already 30.
Who can we fight?
Right.
Tell me who I'm fighting. We'll tweet them after the show.
Okay. So here's the top list of... So we're around 30. So these are celebrities. They're 61 years old. So I'll just list a couple and tell me if there's one that jumps out that you would want to fight.
Okay.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, no.
I mean, I'd easily be able to beat her, I think. So,
but do you want... So the goal is, do you want to fight them? All right. So let me go through the list here.
Well, hold on. No. I have to be clear. Is the goal to win the fight?
No, the goal is somebody that you actually...
That I have a beef with.
Right.
Because if this is just pure, I can win the fight. Probably win a fight against Ellen DeGeneres.
This is some sort of irrational beef you have with one of these celebrities.
Okay. Ellen DeGeneres is fine.
Alec Baldwin.
Okay.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Okay.
Annette Bening.
Okay.
Gary Oldman. Steve Buscemi. Sharon Stone.
He would eat your eyeballs
Steve
out.
Steve Buscemi?
Yes. Yeah. And then put lipstick on around and around, just like a Billy Madison.
Wow, I'm glad I made friends with that guy.
Yep.
Ice-T, Peter Capaldi, Betsy DeVos. I think there's a winner.
Okay, I would definitely fight her.
Ray Romano. That's one.
I'm not a huge fan of him.
Yeah.
He's got a very punchable face.
I'd take a swing at Ray Romano.
Him and Alec Baldwin and Betsy DeVos are the three people right now at the top of my list.
Andy McDowell. Let's see. Nick Cave. Matt Lauer. Oh, there you go. I'd take a punch at him.
Yeah.
Russell Simmons. Kevin Pollak. Dennis Leary. I don't know. I might.
Dennis Leary.
I might take a swing at Dennis Leary just because I'm a Bill Hicks fan, and there's some accusations that he stole material from Bill Hicks.
Okay.
To wrap it off, that's it.
Steven Seagal, Harvey Weinstein.
Oh,
I'll do it. I'll cut off his balls. I'll bite off his balls.
Wow.
Well, because
you might get a movie deal out of that.
Right. He'd ask for it.
Two birds with one stone.
He'd ask for it, for sure. Mark Hamill's in here.
No, don't
fight Mark Hamill.
No.
Liam Neeson. Oh, my God. I will die. I will just die.
Your list is a lot
more
dangerous.
First, I will get raped, and then I will die, and he will hunt me down and murder me.
Your list is a lot more dangerous than our list. I mean, we're fighting Ellen DeGeneres and Betsy DeVos.
Did I tell you Steven Seagal's in here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about Steve. Well, he kind of got fat.
John Mellencamp, I'm fucked. I'm totally fucked. Mr. T. Oh my God, man. Guys, I'm dead. Ben Carson. All right.
Take him on.
Take him.
So, Mike, what was one of the ones that stood out for you?
I would say my top three were Alec Baldwin. God, I can't
take
remember.
Take a swing at Alec Baldwin?
Yeah, you know what? He's funny and everything, but he's kind of a jerk, isn't he? He's kind of douchey.
Yeah.
He's kind of got a punchable face. Mm-hmm. Ray Romano's got a very – you know what? Everybody loves Ray. Everybody loves Raymond. It was all right. I wasn't a huge fan of it.
Oh, man. My mom loves that show.
She will watch repeat after repeat,
and I'm like, you've seen the same episode eight different times.
There were much better sitcoms on in that era than that one. And Betsy DeVos. So those would be my three. If I could just take them all on. I don't think that I could win against Alec Baldwin, because didn't he punch that one reporter once?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, actually, Alec Baldwin has some experience.
He's got anger problems. It's kind of scary, but I'd still, if I got a good sucker punch in, I'd take my shot. Rich, what about you?
I would definitely go after Matt Lauer.
Oh, yeah.
I never liked him. And then when
didn't he touch women or
something?
Yeah,
and then when that whole scandal came out, I was like, good. I had a feeling he was one of those creepy guys.
I forgot about him. Him too.
So,
four people.
I would punch him. Yeah, Ray Romano, I think, is overrated. I guess Betsy DeVos too, because she's been ruining everything.
Yeah.
I guess that would be my top three. I don't really have any, and you know what? I want to take a swing at Dennis Leary just to avenge Bill Hicks.
Okay then.
So do you have your top three that you would?
I mean, they'll
Mr.
just
T.
murder me immediately.
They'll just murder you.
But did you actually have like an irrational hatred for these?
Harvey Weinstein, for sure.
Right.
That's a pretty good pick.
Yeah, I'll
take
him down.
That's a big one. Okay, that's
but
fine.
I'll like take him down the right way.
Right.
By biting his dick off.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Okay, got you.
Yeah. And then possibly getting a movie deal out of it.
Right. Yes. Just make sure all the contracts are signed before the clamping down takes
place. I don't think that's how that works, though.
I don't know. I've never been in an apartment with Harvey Weinstein.
Correct.
So,
I mean, we're all new to this.
Right. Yeah, right. I know. No movie deals here at this table, unfortunately.
No, unfortunately.
Right. So, other than Harvey Weinstein, is there anybody else that you have, like, an irrational hatred on that list?
Not really that I saw. It was mostly people that I would fear.
Okay.
Right. Like, so, I can't. And they're all pretty old, so I would feel bad for beating the shit out of them. Like, let's be honest. Most of them I could probably actually just beat up because they're so old. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, just quick push down the stairs. They're
right,
all done,
right.
You know?
Just throw them down the stairs.
Crickety crackety, yeah.
All
no,
you need is just
not.
One misplaced banana peel in. I mean, you wipe
exactly.
out your entire list
Doyle
of enemies.
Doyle rules!
Yeah. Perfect.
Exactly.
Okay. So, that's our personal 31-year-old meme challenge, if you will.
It really just highlights how bizarre this whole story is, though.
It is.
Because a 31-year age difference. Like,
he is going to go crazy. He's on his way to crazy.
Which one? Justin Bieber or
well,
Tom Cruise?
Yeah, they're both on their way to crazy.
Tom Cruise is already there, and he's like waving him in. He's like, come on, Mr. Bieber.
Waving him in the third.
Yeah,
here we go.
No, I think Justin Bieber, something big is going to go down in the next couple years with him.
Okay.
Like, I don't know what, but there's going to be something.
Drug problems, rehab, that
something,
whole
yes.
redemption
something
stuff.
Something dramatic.
Okay.
Because he's just like,
it seems like a pretty
crazy.
Off the rails tweet.
It is. Well, then if you think about it, like a lot of times with people who have stardom at his age and then, you know, the older he gets and the less success he has as he gets older, it's like just this weird.
No, you're absolutely right. There is a correlation between, child actors or child stars who, reach that type of fame very early and then they get told you can have whatever you want. You can do nothing wrong. And then when they're no longer relevant, they're just constantly... I mean, look at Hannah Montana or whatever, Miley Cyrus, you know? Although I hear she's making a comeback now where she's more mellowed out. But, I mean, she went real crazy.
Right.
For
well,
a while
she
there.
No, she's chill now. But Justin Bieber, I mean, he still has, like, millions of followers. Like,
he's still
major.
He's still got to get to the point where...
He hits rock bottom?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He's got a couple of years before that'll happen, but...
Okay.
Okay. One last question before we end the segment. How about Tom Cruise himself? Do you actually have, would you want to take a swing at Tom Cruise?
Kind of. The whole Scientology thing. Well, here's the thing. Because the whole Scientology
thing. You're on Justin Bieber's side, aren't you? You would take a swing.
Here's the thing. Everybody loves Tom Cruise, and he's made some good action movies, But as an actor, I don't see I don't see like a billing of Tom Cruise and be like, oh, that's a movie I really want to see. I'm like, oh, that's a movie that seems very generic and is going to hit all the same key action movie notes from the past.
Really?
100. Yeah. All his movies are the same movie. They're all just spy thrillers.
Not all of them. I mean, he's had...
His early movies are different, yeah. But since then, what's he done? He's just done Mission Impossible over and over
again. You know, he did Jerry Maguire.
I mean, there are a couple that aren't Vanilla in the Sky. Spy.
Okay, Edge of Tomorrow, the one that he did.
Collateral? Collateral's a great movie.
He did Minority Report. Or was
that's
that Ben
Affleck? That's kind of a spy. No, it is him, but it's kind of still in the spy thriller genre.
I would say, though, when you're weighing the scales, it's much more heavy on the generic action side of things. But beside that, he's also the main supporter of Scientology, which you just can't support. I mean, this is a cult that imprisons people, that, you know, just a whole bunch of shady-ass shit going on, and I can't get behind that. So if it was for that reason I'd try to take a swing at him, I'd be afraid because I feel like he would definitely be able to take me. And
no way. He's like half your height.
Yeah, he is small.
He's like 5'2".
But he does do all his own stunts, though. Like, he's physically fit, and I'm just like... me.
You can't even fight a goose.
I can't even fight a goose. I've been attacked by geese 3 times and I've lost 2 of those fights. Okay? Listen, you shut up, Rich.
Can you record
the way you
this?
I'm just me.
I'm just
look, I'm honest about my fighting abilities and it would not be able to beat Tom Cruise. So
no, it's good. I'm just me.
I don't know. Wait, how tall is he?
He's like 5'3".
I could probably just step on him then.
You could.
Because I'm kind of tall.
You could also do that with a coyote.
Yeah, which is why they're not as fearsome as geese.
No, get out of
here. So anyway, Rich.
I would never want to face a coyote.
Okay, so you're very feeling very bold about coyotes, but how do you feel about Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise, I like his movies. I wouldn't take a swing at him.
Even for the Scientology stuff?
I mean...
It's a cult that imprisons people.
Right. I don't like that. I don't like it. I'm not a big fan of any religion, to be honest with you. So, I don't know. But I personally wouldn't take a swing at him. I think Tom Cruise is all right. I think he's good. I think he's, you know.
So you're backing down from the fight.
For Tom Cruise,
you're never going to live this down, Rich.
I'm not taking a swing at Tom Cruise.
You got to go in the octagon with him, whatever else Justin Bieber said.
No. Give me, you know, some of the other ones that I had on my... give me Dennis Leary and...
You know, back off of Dennis Leary, okay?
And Matt Lauer. What? Didn't know?
No, I actually don't give a shit about him.
Okay, good.
So Nana, what about you? Would you take on Tom Cruise?
No, I think I would just ask him if he was really gay.
That's all you want to know.
Yep.
The hard-hitting questions from
you. You're going to be like, look, you can either get punched in the face or you can tell me the truth.
No, I mean, I wouldn't threaten him.
Oh, really? You just want just casually?
He still has probably many bodyguards that would take me down if I tried anything.
I didn't even think of the bodyguard angle. Yeah.
He's Tom
Cruise. I would imagine. I thought the whole idea was that they're in the octagon or something. Oh. So there's no.
Oh, so we're not sneaking up on them on the street.
No.
That changes things.
Yeah. Right. No, I don't want to be in an octagon with him.
Okay. Well,
really,
neither
of you would take a swing at Tom Cruise?
No, I like Tom Cruise.
I don't think it's something that I've ever actually
thought about. Especially compared to Justin Bieber. Fuck Justin Bieber.
I would punch Justin Bieber.
Yeah, I would punch Justin Bieber.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because
well, that wasn't an option presented, Rich.
I'm sorry. I guess I changed the stakes.
Here's
on
the deal.
You.
Tom Cruise, back in his hateable days, sure. But Justin Bieber is more hated now than Tom Cruise is.
Oh, yeah.
He's like too irrelevant to want to punch at this point.
Okay.
Maybe 20 years ago when he was like trapping Katie Holmes in her marriage in the Scientology dungeon. Yeah.
Right.
I'd punch him. But now I don't care enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Now he's just a generic action movie star.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Who may be gay.
Or, yeah, he could be that. But there you go. Make your own decisions about whether or not you would punch Tom Cruise. Thank you to Justin Bieber for coming up with this random tweet that inspired us to do the side dish. But that's not the last bit of the show, because I still got odd news, real odd news, that we got to get to. That story felt like it would be in the odd news or something.
Yeah, that's it.
So don't go anywhere, because I've got real odd news from Florida and around the country in the non-fortune cookie odd news. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunching.
I'm Nikolai Vulko. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle.
That's his order.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We've made it through a good majority of the show, but Nena is still here. She's sticking around.
Yep.
Because we still got one last portion of the show that we need to get to. It revolves around more odd news, but I like to refer to it as real odd news, not this stuff that Justin Bieber was throwing about. I'm talking about the real, hard-hitting odd news from the local states, from the people you may find in your own backyard. I think it's a good time to go into the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, 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 go past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay! what does that mean?
And now, it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So, sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for hell of a ride.
News.
Whoa! Wow, yes, that's right. Let out a celebratory screech because it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and Nena and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories and keeps them hidden from us so that all of our reactions are our genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. You guys don't know what's about to happen, we don't know what's about to happen, and even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths, and we're ready to get started. What do you got for us first, Rich?
All right. So, you know what? Let's start off with a good try-and-true method. Let's go to Florida for our first story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And, wow, this is just a boy man.
It's a boy man?
No, no, it's
it's
no,
a it's, boy man.
It's a Florida woman who really got angry, and I would never want to piss this woman off ever again.
Okay.
Because a Florida woman allegedly grabbed her boyfriend by the balls and squeezed them until they were bleeding, according to a police report.
Oh, my balls!
No. Sounds like all my past relationships.
Oh, my balls!
Wow.
Yikes.
Yeah. 21-year-old Katie Lee Pitchford was arrested Tuesday following a 4 a.m. altercation with the victim at their Indian Harbor Beach residence. Pitchford became enraged and first struck her boyfriend with a brush, then punched him in the face. So, yeah, she's already...
He's got to run away at that point. Yeah. Why is he just standing there?
Was it a hairbrush?
Yeah, hairbrush, yeah. So, hairbrush and punch. Bam. 1-2 punch.
Did they describe why she was enraged?
No, it doesn't say why. Some sort of argument.
It's the meth.
It was the meth.
You're probably right. You're probably right. It is Florida.
When cops interviewed the man, they noticed that he did have blood running down his face and his left eye was starting to bruise.
Oh, God.
The victim then recounted that his testicles was throttled by Pitchford.
Oh, my ball.
He uses such colorful action verbs. I love it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Also, at the same time, he added that Pitchford also choked him at the same time.
Jeez.
This pitch is awesome.
Yeah. Left hand, balls, right hand, throat.
Man, she's got the death grip right there.
She's the best.
Yeah. Pitchford denied to police what was the topic that turned the dispute into physical assault. She did ask if she could talk to the victim afterwards and say if she could say she was sorry.
Yeah.
She made his balls bleed. I think you're past sorry at that point.
This is what all men need once in a while.
To have their balls explode.
She is a pioneer of women.
a left ball grab and a right throat grab.
I can't even imagine the sheer terror that must have been going through his mind.
That should be like a Mortal Kombat move in the video game or something. Just like, bam!
It probably is. I just haven't played.
Get over here!
Get over here!
Right.
Balls, squish. Get over here!
Squish!
Squish! That must be so terrifying because you can't move. They're going to get ripped off.
Right, because he's doing that sway that they do before you do the fatality.
Yeah. Fatality.
Yeah, the finish him sway.
Yep.
Balls and throat gag. Brr.
Balls and throat.
Oh, my balls!
Pitchford, who was booked into the Brevard County Jail on a $1,000 bond, has also been ordered by the judge that she cannot have any contact with the victim.
Well, that makes sense.
Well, so we don't know why.
Yeah, unfortunately, we'll never know why. Unfortunately, though,
it
she
was
has...
probably definitely the meth.
I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
Unfortunately, though, she has previous violence connections. In 2017, she had a felony case because she resisted a police officer with violence after she kicked a cop in the groin.
Wow,
she has some history with this.
Oh, my balls!
She knows where they are.
Yeah.
That's vicious.
Goes
she
right...
knows where they are.
Maybe the boyfriend sent out a tweet challenging her to a fight.
And she's like, all right, let's go.
She's like, all right, bitch.
Yeah, you're on. Octagon, bitch.
Oh, my balls!
He lost that fight so quickly.
Well, that's a pretty solid move. Choke and ball grab.
But, I mean, even before that, she cracked him in the head so hard with a hairbrush that it made him bleed, and then she punched him.
You got to get the early advantage.
And for some reason, he was still hanging around long enough for her to get to his most vital of organs.
He probably slept with someone.
Yeah, it's probably
and she probably
like
caught
that.
Them in the middle of it.
Yeah, so
and
where's
that's
the
why
girl?
That's why it was such easy access to his balls
because they were out just dangling in the winds.
Yeah,
just the breeze
flopping in the
and they're right there for the grab.
Right, yeah.
You can't. That's poor defense. You can't leave them up for grabs.
You got to protect your boys.
Yeah. So
I mean, they're always up for grabs, technically. about it, the way balls are and how they dangle.
Right, but you know, you gotta stand back in the fighting stance. You know.
Yeah, you got to protect your vital organs.
Right. Get something. Cover it up.
Right. That's the part that gets me. Is like he stood around long enough for her to latch on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how are you that dense and unaware? Where you're just like, oh, I better not protect my...
Well, so I don't know much about ball grabbing. I mean, I do, from a female perspective. But when it comes to men, like, if your balls are, like, gripped deathly, I assume you can't really move.
Oh, no. That's terrifying.
Right. Like, it's crippling.
Right. You can't let it get to that point, though.
Right. You gotta stop it before it gets there.
Yeah, but maybe she did the old one, too.
Like, real quick, she's just like, punch, punch, grab. And
yes.
He didn't have a second.
Yes.
Ninja-like reflexes.
XXY. I mean, we don't know. A, B, yeah. A, B.
She's right. 21. She's very, she's very young. She could be very fast. 21, you know. She's
got those reflexes, those ball-grabbing reflexes.
Right. She was trained in the
art. Her hand just flashes out like a cobra striking at its prey.
Like, you know, it's like Kung Pao when he's training to get the triangles off of the dude really fast. She's really fast at just going for the balls.
How old is he? Do we know?
31 years older.
Exactly.
It doesn't say in the police report.
Of course it doesn't, because he's not important to the story.
Right, he just got his balls taken. Right. That's it. That's all you get.
I mean, his balls were a more important character in this story than he was.
Oh, my balls!
I don't even know his name, just that his balls were death-gripped.
Right, yeah, he doesn't have a name either.
I mean, he's ballless now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there you go. don't piss off this Florida woman, because she is trained in some sort of... testicle karate or something. She went right. She knows where to go.
I mean,
most of
us do pitch, to be completely honest with you.
Yes.
Most of us know.
I just think it's funny. She has two testicle grabbing. Well, she kicked the cop in
the
second one.
Yeah.
Can't get through that polyester to grab.
Yeah, so a little bit more difficult.
I wouldn't know.
The material is too thick to get a hold!
Damn it!
I have to use blunt force trauma.
Don't you dare.
Getting smarter on me, damn it. Okay, I have another Florida story we can jump into.
Now, who is this f- guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And, Mike, I know you like weird excuses, so yep. This one's right up your alley here.
All right, what do you got?
A Florida man who had cocaine on his nose when the vehicle he was traveling in was stopped this weekend by police told arresting officers that the drug, even though it was on his nose, was not his, according to police officers.
Wrong. You're wrong.
Doesn't matter.
When you
it's
do,
on his nose.
The thing is, when you are doing cocaine, you should have powdered donuts with you at all times.
Yes.
Oh,
it's
there
the perfect
you go.
Excuse. It's like killing somebody with an icicle, right?
Because remember when you were younger and you'd put the powder all around your lips?
Sure.
No? Is that just me? I'd just rub the donut all around your lips and then you'd have white lips.
There you go. Like, and it looks
the,
like cocaine.
Like the cocaine.
Come on. Yeah.
I didn't realize that's what I was doing.
Cocaine. Yeah, I don't know. I never did that. I mean, the powder would get everywhere, but
that was the point.
You're right.
Cocaine coverage.
To make it look like you were doing cocaine.
No, I didn't. But I guess.
Oh.
I didn't realize that's what I was doing.
Oh, you just wanted to have powder.
Yeah.
Okay.
You wanted sugar.
I just wanted sugar all over my lips.
Okay. You but wanted then, to, like, bathe in the sugar. You just wanted it everywhere.
I don't really know why I did it. Maybe we should just move on.
Okay.
20-year-old Fabricio Jimenez was a passenger in a car that was pulled over Sunday during a 3 a.m. traffic stop in Tampa Bay.
Yikes.
When a sheriff's office deputy approached the car, the female cop immediately noticed that Jimenez had a white powdery substance on his nose.
It's a chocolate donut powder.
Yeah, exactly.
Jimenez's nose was then swabbed by police, and a field test returned a positive result for the presence of cocaine. They also took a picture of Jimenez and his dusty nose during the traffic stop. A further search of Jimenez yielded a small bag of cocaine and a backpack in which he had 250 grams of marijuana and 13 Xanax pills. Jimenez then attempted to tell the deputies that the cocaine on his nose was not his, and he says that the drugs in his backpack were drugs he was holding for his best friend. Oh,
what a guy.
Yeah.
So kind.
I was
nice.
Holding it for you, man.
Yeah, that's a real friend.
It's not
right
mine.
There. No.
Of course.
So was he also holding the drugs in his nose
right,
for his friend?
Yeah. Oh, I'm just, that's for the primo stuff. I'm keeping it right up there.
Right. Somewhere safe. Yeah. Yeah.
Very exactly. Safe. Won't get moved at all. I don't sneeze. I don't anything.
I don't understand why the excuse is always, it's not mine. It doesn't matter. You have it. And in this case, he was actively doing it because it's on his nose. So it doesn't matter whose it is.
But I think if you're on drugs, you're not really thinking straight.
Of course.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it probably sounds like a completely rational excuse to him at the time.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Not mine. So Jimenez will also face probation violation charges because he was arrested last August after cops found 11 bags of pot and 4 bags of cocaine inside the same backpack. At the time, Jimenez then admitted that those did belong to him, and he liked to sell pot as a side hustle. So, oh yes, I'm an entrepreneur.
So he freely admitted this once,
yes.
But the second time...
Oh, no!
Because he knew. He knew what was up.
What changed, though?
He was probably hoping it would become legal in that time period.
That cocaine would become legal?
Yeah, pot can. I don't know about cocaine.
Yeah, you're glossing over like the hardcore one there.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm just trying to make it easier for this guy, okay?
Right.
He's had a little bit of hard knocks.
It's really tough for him. He's always got to shuffle his friend's drugs back and forth, almost like he's, what do they call them, drug mules?
Yeah.
You know? Which is also...
He's trying to look out for his friend.
He probably either stores them in his asshole or
probably.
In his fake boobs.
Way up there.
Or his backpack.
I mean, maybe they should look into the fake boobs then.
They should probe them.
They might have to. I also have another quick Florida man story here. This one's just really quick, but it's weird.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
If you are feeling blue and you need someone to talk to, Florida police would like to reiterate that you do not call the 911 operator just to chat with them. Because police allege that 55-year-old Jeffrey Gorton dialed the emergency dispatch number 17 times in a 12-hour span between Wednesday and Thursday night because he was lonely. Aww, poor guy.
That's
sad. He just needed someone to talk to. So he...
I mean, that's what sex lines are for. It costs a little bit more, but...
Yeah, that's what you should be doing.
Why 911, though?
Yeah.
They're obviously not going to talk to you. Like, what's he hoping? He's just going to strike up a casual conversation with a dispatcher?
Well, way to make it more depressing with Mad World in the background.
Yeah, really. He's so sad. He's so lonely.
This is sad.
Help! Help!
It is sad.
The song is depressing me.
It is very depressing. But do they say...
He likes it.
I do like that version of the song. But do they say why? I mean, obviously he called because he was lonely, but I mean, there had to be some other like mitigating circumstance here. He had to be like on something or...
Well, the Florida man...
Or he really just thought that was the best chance to strike up a conversation.
What kind of things did they talk about? I'm curious.
The Florida
what
man...
What did he open with? they say like 911 emergency. What's your emergency? And he's like, oh man, how are those local sports teams doing? Like, what's his opening line? Like, how does he start? You know,
The Florida man explained that he called 911 because he was really lonely and he needed someone to talk to. According to the criminal complaint, the 911 dispatch said that they got through initial questions to prove that he was not suicidal. Because at that point, then you would have
act. Yeah.
Afterwards, the 911 dispatch dispatcher says that they would just end up talking about people on the sidewalk walking in front of his house.
He's a people watcher. Yes. You know what he really should do?
And he needed someone to comment with.
All those calls that we don't want and try to block, he should pick those up and talk to them.
He should post his number publicly. And then we could set up like call forwarding to that number.
And he could take
and then
the
he
calls.
Would always,
he would have hours of calls.
That's right. And he could talk to like the IRS robot that always tells you that your account is being investigated and it's totally not a scam and to send us your bank account number.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
He would love to have a chat with them.
All right, let's get in touch with them.
Yeah. Right. He could start a side hustle.
Look, we're basically matchmakers here.
Right? Yes.
Basically matchmakers.
We've solved both problems so far.
Yeah.
Bring the powdered donuts. And pick up the tele what are they called?
Marketers? Telemarketers?
today, Junior.
the
yes, pick up the telemarketer.
We're just solving problems left and right. And
there you go.
We're problem
solvers
here.
Feel good. Maybe we should put that song again.
What, do you want
feel
do
good
Mad World?
Song.
You
feel good.
There you go.
But like it's like more positive tone now.
Just for Mikey.
Really
there's like a hint of hopefulness there.
A hint of hopeful.
Just a hint, though. Mostly depressing.
Is this why you like the song?
Why? Because it's a hint of hopefulness?
There's a small hint.
No, I think I just made that up.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I can see he's like looking out the window. He's like, maybe there's a silver lining to the dark cloud that is my life. That if I just try a little bit harder one more time, maybe that's the one. Maybe then.
Maybe number 17.
Right.
Maybe number 17. No, he's already tried 17. 18. That'll be the one. I'll finally make a real human connection.
With the 911 dispatcher.
With the 911 dispatcher.
I mean, great intentions, just wrong person. Wrong person.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should not be calling
the 911.
There's
a person that's crying out for help. I think we should all call him and be like, hey, what's up? Tell me about the people walking outside of your house.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to hear about them.
Right, all the people.
Is there that much foot traffic, though? Or does he have to wait? Because there's not a lot of foot traffic sometimes.
That's true. Where does
so
he live?
So does he just sit there and like, not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Oh, wait, here. Oh, no, wait, sorry. That was a pigeon. Not yet. Not yet. Like, what is like, what if there's nobody walking
by?
Or
maybe it's a really heavily walked road. And
it's like a really busy road.
Bob, the guy with the flannel still walking down the street. That bastard.
Does he know the people or does he just give them, like, you know, people watching nicknames?
Both.
Like, there's that flannel motherfucker.
There's that bastard.
Yeah.
Or maybe he doesn't see anyone at all.
Oh, plot twist.
Mind blown.
Yeah.
Shyamalan night twist.
Shyamalan night twist.
M. Night Shyamalan?
Is that what his name is?
Yes.
I like that better.
M. Night Shyamalan twist.
Shyamalan night twist. I like that.
You know what? It's almost as good as some of his other plots. So he hasn't made a good movie since
right?
The Sixth Sense, I think, was his best one.
That was his only good one.
Yeah, they were all pretty rough after that.
Yeah.
The one... What
I had
was
hopes it? For The Village.
The Village was okay.
Right.
And then it sort of... Oh, no, I'm wrong. Split was really good.
I never saw it.
Oh, that's... It's James McAvoy, and he plays a person with multiple personality disorder who's kidnapped three teenagers to, quote-unquote, save them from the Beast, but the Beast is one of his alternate personalities. And he plays, I think it's like 20-some different characters in the span of the movie. It's really cool. Yeah.
And he was a ghost the whole time.
Yes! I knew it!
Spoiler.
Bam.
I see dead people, and they have multiple personality disorders. It's a very elaborate ghost.
Exactly.
But no, Split's really good.
Great.
Yeah, but that's the only one since The Village. It's been a rough go.
Okay.
Well, I have another spoiler report to go over at the end of here. Gorton was warned by the cops that if he persisted contacting emergency service without the need for such services, he would be subject to an arrest. He continued, and Gorton was then busted in the morning for misuse of the 911 system.
That's sad.
He was arrested at his home while he was on the phone again with the 911 operator. So he literally had the phone in his hand talking to the 911 operator.
Red-handed.
Yeah, caught red-handed. So, yeah.
But at least he'll have somebody to talk to on the ride over to the jail.
That's right. He'll have some people to talk to in jail.
Silver linings, right? We just talked about that when Mad World was playing. Silver linings.
They should have just taken him down.
Like what? Like violently?
Like with guns.
Wow. So killed him.
I mean, sure.
Wow. Wow.
You've made your last call, bitch.
They just kick the door down. And they're like, you're going to stop bothering us.
Right.
Boom.
I mean, hey, force works sometimes.
And when you have to get your point across.
There's people with real emergencies out there.
Right. We don't got time for this.
Yeah.
All you're going to do is take up a jail cell. You know, divert resources and funds and
really they'll turn this into a real emergency.
Right, exactly.
There you go. We're gonna make you call 911 for a real
reason. Which I was gonna say, what if like he just like chopped off the tip of his finger? You know, like a part of your finger that he wouldn't miss, so then he has a real reason to call 911. You know, and then he just strings him along. He's like, oh, I chopped off my finger. But before you send an ambulance, let's talk.
Billy's outside.
Yeah, Billy's outside. Talks about something else.
Why doesn't he? Maybe this whole time he's just been trying to call 411.
Oh, and he's just super confused and stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is Florida. Again.
Yeah. It could be.
Most of these stories can be summed up with, well, it is Florida.
Right.
Dot, dot, dot.
Well, there you go. That's our Florida odd news stories.
Sad.
It is kind of sad.
But I have some more odd news here.
Uplifting?
Interesting. I don't know about uplifting.
Okay.
This one going to Virginia in our next story here. A Virginia man said he got a rude awakening last week when he discovered an intruder in his house that ended up trying to just microwave some butter, according to police. Why?
It's the neighbor.
No, it's not the neighbor.
Their microwave is busted. Like, you know when you go next door and you need to borrow some salt?
It's not right. It's not the neighbor. They know the neighbors.
Are you sure?
Yes.
How do you know?
How do you know they know the neighbors?
I've got the story here.
Oh, he's got the deets.
Yeah. Zach McGuire was in his room on the bed with his phone. He said he heard a noise when a stranger entered the home. Originally, he thought it was just the neighbor.
Does that happen, though? Does his neighbor just randomly enter his house?
I'm here again to microwave the butter. Thanks, Joe.
This is the fourth time this week. Why are you microwaving so much butter?
Go get your own microwave.
Yeah.
It's not that expensive.
At that point, just buy him like a $30 microwave and be like, here.
Guys, maybe it's busted. Let's give him a little, you know.
Okay, so apparently the neighbor microwaves butter fairly regularly.
Well, he at least strolls into his house, I guess.
Okay.
So he didn't think too much of the talking he heard coming from the kitchen.
That's even better.
Yeah.
Yes. He's
talking to the butter. You Hello. Melt.
Is it the butter or to himself?
For me. Melt for me, butter.
Oh, I like the way you melt.
Oh, it's so good.
Then he realized that the voice was not one he recognized. He noted to himself that somebody was in there talking to themselves.
This is bizarre.
I just imagine Pitch doing that voice that he does, like, cheerio, and it's just like, get that butter melted.
Hello, I'm just
just going to stroll right in here for a quick pitter-putter. I hope you don't mind.
You can't be mad at that if someone's in your kitchen talking like that.
Excuse me, sir.
I might be really worried, but... Like, why is there a strange, proper British man knocking butter in my kitchen?
I'd be like, welcome to my kitchen, sir.
It's like one, I don't live in Britain. And two, why are you taking my butter and microwaving it?
I don't mean to be a spot of trouble.
Is it his butter?
Yes.
Did he bring his own butter? Or is it...
No.
BYOB.
Bring your own butter.
Bring your own butter. No, this is the dude's butter. This is Zach McGuire's
butter.
Damn it! I'm going to show up to restaurants with my own sticks of butter now.
Of course, you should. But then you got to melt them in their microwave.
Yeah.
No. That would be hilarious. You walk in and you get seated and you're like, excuse me.
Is this BYOB?
Can you point me to your microwave so I can microwave my own butter?
Yeah. All right, let's hear it. Let's hear the deets, the real deets here.
Yeah.
So when he realized that it was a stranger, he then came flying out into the kitchen. And that's when he saw that a woman.
This guy can fly?
It was a woman, by the way.
Oh, it was a woman.
Well, the woman really needed the...
I have a much better image.
She really needed this butter. So he ran in the kitchen and saw her standing right in front of the microwave.
So it's the beginning of a porn, basically.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, wow.
A really bad porn.
I see you've noticed the length of my butter.
I'm here to melt your butter.
I don't know if that analogy works, though, because the butter would get smaller as it melts.
Right, because she's so hot.
Yes. It's very.
But if the butter is a stand-in...
It's very creamy.
For something.
Oh no!
Rich.
It's a family friendly show.
Yeah, come on. God.
Yeah, man.
Perv.
So she's standing there.
You okay?
I just love this. This is the direct quote in the police report. She's standing right there in front of the microwave getting ready to nuke my butter.
See, this is a porn. Everyone's seen this one.
Oh, right. The neighbor comes over to microwave their butter. That's classic subgenre.
Classic.
Right up there with MILF and you know,
right.
All the other good subgenres.
Then McGuire said that, quote, I told her she butter not.
What?
No.
Real
come
clever.
On.
Shut up, really?
Yeah, it says that in the report, yeah.
This was definitely a porn.
This
All right, keep going.
Yeah, this is a porn
gone wrong.
It
definitely had sex.
Well, no, that's when the woman was startled. He said...
Oh, that point.
Yeah. He said to the woman to sit on the floor while I call police.
Couldn't even give her a chair?
He made her sit on the floor.
What a savage.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I mean, it is a stranger. Don't get
me
wrong.
Is it like a frail old woman, or is it like a sexy, big-bosomed woman?
I don't think it's a sexy, big-bosomed woman.
Because they would have. So.
Why not?
Yeah, they would have definitely. I think
they would have pointed that out.
Right.
They would.
But
the reporter's like, "And how big were the breasts?" Okay, no need to mention it in the story then.
Yes.
Less than perky. Got it.
If they were cups of butter, how big would they be?
If they were cups of butter,
the fuck, they would be a cup then, Rich.
Yes. Anyway.
Is that the official measuring system? Oh, that's a four cup. That's a four cupper.
Like, what? It's a nice stack of butter.
A nice stack of butter.
So he had the woman sit on the floor while he called police. That's when she started to realize that the cops were coming, and she started to cry on the floor.
Oh, now I feel bad for her.
Yeah.
I mean, he should just give her the butter and send her on
her
goddamn way.
It's just butter. But also, why make her sit on the floor? You could have let her sit in a chair.
And he could have at least gotten some pee out of it, you know? Some pussy.
But, you know...
Oh. I was like, wait, what?
But, I mean, it is a stranger. You don't know what she's going to... You know, you don't know if she has, like, you know, a knife or something on her. So, I mean,
So that precludes her from sitting on a chair?
Yeah.
Listen, I don't think... I mean, I'm kind of on Pitch's side. Like, I don't
think...
You're
going to force her to sit on the floor?
Yeah, I'd be like, bitch, get down.
Don't
bitch,
move. Yeah.
I'll cook
get on
your
the floor.
Butter.
And don't you touch my damn butter.
You got to hit the frost, you idiot.
There's a butter setting. God, what's wrong with you?
Savages over here.
Just because they're just furiously jabbing at the microwave. Let me show you how it's done. Stay on the floor
while I call police.
All right, bring us to the climax.
So... She ended up that she was spaced out, delusional, and that she also said that she hadn't slept in two or three consecutive days.
Okay.
She also didn't know that she was in Virginia.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Wait, where did she think she was?
Where did she come from?
Space camp.
Somewhere, because she said she didn't know she was in Virginia.
Somewhere?
Yeah, I don't know. Also, on an interesting final note, police have not filed charges on her yet because they cannot confirm her identity. So it could be possible that maybe she's like
an M. Night Shyamalan twist.
Yeah
right.
Ooh. She was dead the whole time.
She was. That's right.
So yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on. Maybe she's from somewhere else.
If you don't put out a follow up on this, I'm going to be pissed.
We never get
follow-ups.
I need to know. Sometimes, very rarely.
This is probably the best odd news story I've heard.
Really?
Besides the lady who married the airplane, but that's a different reason for my love. But I want to know more. I want to know. There's a lot of whys.
Right.
Why didn't you take advantage of her?
Wow.
Listen.
What do you want?
Hot, big-bosomed man shows up in my kitchen, melting butter. I'm gonna take him.
And you're just going.
When you mean big bosom man, are you saying he has?
Well, no. I'm like, oops. I was like crossing streams a little bit. You know,
you're not supposed to cross the streams.
A hot dude. Yeah, I know. I've read that somewhere. You know, like I need to know more.
But I thought we decided that she wasn't hot, or else it would have been mentioned. So
yeah,
I'm imagining
like an elderly woman.
I was imagining like a frail elderly woman. That this dude forced to sit on the ground.
And also,
wouldn't even give her the butter.
You're also forgetting, this is a complete stranger. You can't trust a complete stranger. Uh-uh.
Have we really lost that much of our humanity that we don't afford our fellow human beings
an opportunity to sit in a chair?
Yeah. If you wanted to be a dick, you could have just kicked her in the ass right out the door.
I don't know.
I am pro chair sitting.
I
am pro porn.
I am against you, but I kind of like your idea, Nana.
Right? Like, those are the next.
So you're anti chair and semi pro porn?
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Someone needs to make a porn riff on this.
It's definitely out there. It's definitely out there.
Call the Pornhub or something. Call them up. Tell them we got an idea for a porno.
Great idea. She walks in and she's melting the butter. And then there's so many butter sex puns.
Right.
Yes.
So many that they could use. I'll come up with a couple maybe for next time.
Okay, good. We'll have you research.
Okay.
Okay. Get on.
They're fighting over the butter, and it gets so slippery that it accidentally slips in. Like, boom. Porn.
Jesus.
What? I just wrote the entire plot in 4 seconds.
I mean, I guess.
I should contact Pornhub.
Okay. Yeah. Contact Pornhub.
I'll start on the spec script right now.
Is that it?
No, I got one more.
This better. I don't know if you can do any butter.
All right. No, show's over. Show's over. No, what do you got?
I got one more story, and it's in New Jersey.
Ooh, oh, good
my
old
favorite.
Joy-Z.
The armpit of America.
Well, this is a weird...
It's so true.
This is a weird story here. 3 men from New Jersey who went to a Presbyterian minister for counseling said that he sexually abused them during what he said was a sacred Native American exorcism ritual instead. The Reverend Dr. William Weaver, who spent nearly 40 years as pastor of the Linden Presbyterian Church, instead performed oral sex on the men as part of a ritual that he claimed would actually free them from the devil, according to police reports. So
that got real weird real fast.
What happened? Wait.
Yes, so this is... God is an awesome God. Yes, he's acting...
Is that your first time hearing the God music?
I mean, I've heard it.
But in this
grew
context,
up Catholic.
Right.
I mean, no, not typically. But I did grow up Catholic.
Yes.
So always in a sexual context, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
So
he was freeing them from the devil with a Native American...
How did it start? I got confused. Yeah. You said 3 men, and then all of a sudden you said there was a man.
I lost the plot once you brought in the Native American spiritual...
Yes. Oh, okay.
Releasing from the devil thing.
All right, perfect. Let me pick up from there. Because in his, quote, exorcism rituals, he would use gemstones, feathers, metal strips, angel coins.
Angel coins.
What? Wait, what's an angel
coin? You guys don't collect angel coins?
No.
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 Oh, no, wait, those are pogs.
No, these are not pogs.
Damn it. I was trying to get rid of mine from the 90s.
I remember pogs. Yeah, no, these are not pogs.
That was amazing.
These
are pogs.
So Weaver would use these items in an elaborate exorcism ritual that he said was taught to him by Native Americans. So the three men who all gave similar accounts of Weaver's sexual exploits dating back to 1999 said that the following. He would first cite a passage in the Bible that called on people to use the full armor of God to fight the devil. As he would say these words, he would then tell the men to undress completely, lie down, and then place gemstones, the coins, the angel coins, the Pugs. Magnetic strips, and a feather up and down from the body, and then, quote, scan them from head to toe. God is an awesome God. Yeah.
Scan them with what?
It's like meditation.
Like,
with the feather.
Scan them with the feather. Is he making noises? Is he like, boop, 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 boop. Oh, I found the source of the devil in the dick.
Like what? Yeah, right there.
He scans them with the feather.
Yeah, the feather is the scanning tool.
Pick up the vibes, and then they played Pogs afterwards.
Yeah.
Right, of course.
At that point,
did anybody play Pogs, or did we just collect them?
I was just about to ask that.
What was the game?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Didn't
now.
You just make a stack of them and you'd like slam the?
Wouldn't
the
you slam? There was some slamming involved.
There's a slammer, right? Isn't that a thing? A pog slammer?
Yeah,
I don't remember.
I believe it was. It was called an angel coin.
I looked up angel coin. It's definitely not that because angel coins are English gold coins introduced by Edward IV in 1465.
Okay. That was my next guess, though.
Right,
that's right. Right after pogs.
Hold on.
Oh, by the way,
I looked up pog slammer. In Google, and it comes up with milk caps.
Okay.
What the fuck is this?
Wait, caps the candy?
Mike, I have to... I'm so confused. Mike, I have to go back to the story.
Okay.
Because you are exactly right.
What?
What? I'm right about something?
He would then take the feather and put it near the groin area and then says that this is where the devil resides.
Right.
Oh my
and
God.
The minister would then perform oral sex on it.
To inject the Satan.
Right.
Right.
This is
guys, it's the making of another porn.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Call Pornhub up.
All
roads lead back to porn.
All roads.
There you go.
You said that so seriously. Like you're PTSD, like all roads. I've traveled them. They all lead back to
true.
Porn.
It's true.
Yeah.
He would then spit.
Oh.
He didn't even...
Yeah, I know, right?
What a puss. He wouldn't even swallow.
That's bad.
You take that down.
It's bad etiquette.
He would spit it up and says that those were the remnants of the demon.
No.
I never understood spitting.
Yeah. So,
Pitch agreed. Pitch is like, I know. That's the worst.
Weaver has given up his ordination and membership in the Presbyterian Church. And
oh, shocker.
Spoiler.
Yeah, he has already moved to a gated retirement community. And
no!
This doesn't make sense.
So he's safe in a gated community and then trapped with all these people.
As of now, Weaver is not facing any charges.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
That's messed up.
Yeah.
I mean.
That's messed up.
Smart guy. He got away clean.
I know.
So far, yeah. I mean, maybe this news story will cause some pressure on the New Jersey detectives to file charges, but maybe they don't have any evidence either because it's only three guys.
Right, because they wash their dicks afterwards. You got to keep the DNA on the dick. I wash my SVU.
Yes, as an SVU expert, yeah. Is that the key?
You immediately run to the hospital, get a rape kit done.
Right.
Don't wash the dick.
Yeah, this is dating back to 1999, so yeah, there's
that's
no
a
way.
Lot of not dick washing. So
yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
It's kind of gross.
So
I just want to make sure that his POG collection is confiscated.
Yeah. Yes. He can't have the angel coins.
Yeah.
Can't have that. But there you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-fortune cookie
news.
I
feel a little despondent from all of them.
Should we play Mad World again?
Yeah, can we?
Do you want
some Mad World? I want a mix of depression and hopeful. Go.
You put Rich on the spot. Yeah, he doesn't have his Mad World
right,
up anymore.
I don't have the Mad World.
You should always have Mad World ready to play, Rich. 24/7.
It's not that good.
What?
No.
It's good.
No, it's not.
What?
Give me back. I want the tier. I like the Tears for Fears version much better.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
No.
Tears for Fears all the way.
No.
I will stay steadfast.
Incorrect.
No.
That is the wrong answer.
No.
You failed this test.
And you are wrong.
No.
You better watch. You to get balls grabbed.
All right. Well, then, you know what? If we're on the threat of getting balls grabbed, I think we need to start ending the podcast. So let's go over what have we learned from the odd news in our final segment of the show.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike. Any lessons that you learned in the odd news?
I learned, most important of all, Nena's going to grab your balls if we don't do what she says.
Yeah.
That's kind of scary.
That's a pretty big ultimatum.
Yeah, we got to stay
Pritchard
on the
style.
We got to stay on the straight and narrow now.
Yeah, a lot of pressure.
Yeah, no ball grabbing. We also learned that the devil is in the dick.
Yeah.
That's where the source of it is.
From the Native Americans.
Of course. Everybody remembers those Native American teachings.
Yes.
You know, when you get scanned with the feather. Also, feathers can detect the devil. No idea.
Who would have thought?
Yeah. And I also learned, apparently, I have no idea how to play Pogs because I don't recognize that at all.
No.
Yeah, I don't remember
either. My childhood was a lie. There's no feathers or devil exorcisms or, I know.
Just Pogs.
Just Pogs, yeah. We also learned that we have a couple of pornos to pitch to Pornhub.
Yes.
I mean, really good, solid storylines. We spent all of 4 to 6 seconds writing the script.
Yes.
And I think we're ready to go.
So good.
Yeah. We've got to hit up those production companies.
Nana's going to write the one-liners for the butter one.
Yep. Yeah. She was good with the butter one-liner.
Yep.
You better believe it.
Oh.
There you go. Speaking of butter, we learned BYOB means bring your own butter.
Yeah.
I want you all to show up to a BYOB restaurant and totally confuse the wait staff by just pulling out stick after stick after stick of butter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just go, we heard it was BYOB. Do you have a microwave I can use?
Yes.
And just see how they react. And preferably videotape it for us.
Yes.
And send it to us. Hashtag BYOB.
BYO butter.
BYO butter.
Yeah.
Drug users should always carry powdered donuts.
Yes.
As a ready-made excuse. We also learned that
we're going to call that the Nena defense. I like that one.
I'm a solution-oriented gal.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that one, yeah.
We're problem solvers here on the podcast. Look at how many problems we solved. We made a couple pornos. We came up with some good excuses. We started a help hotline for that lonely dude in Florida. Look at all the good we did.
Yeah.
This podcast is a force of positive change in our society.
You go, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody can hear my ferocious snap.
There was a little bit there.
Yeah. There you go.
Good job.
Snap ferociously. And finally, we learned the balls are a more important character in non-news stories than the actual men.
Yeah.
So there you go. They had more character development than the guy did.
True.
They made it out.
They did.
Great story arc, though.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
And
it's a little dicey there, but they made it out.
Yes. And there you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Oh, man. And there you go, folks. Another crazy episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast in the books. Thank you, Nena, for stopping by.
Thanks for always picking the dirty ones for me.
No, I think most of the odd news is pretty much, you know, this is what I usually get.
Yeah.
Oh. So I'm just a perv, then.
We all are.
Well, we didn't want to say it in that many words, but...
Got it.
Yeah. You know, last week we had another guy touching himself in the library.
Yeah, it was
that
weird.
Was last
with the
week.
Books? With the bindings?
We
and
don't
everything?
Know, we don't know what he was looking at, but he greeted the people.
Yeah.
Like they found him and he was like, oh, hi.
Yeah.
And he just kept going, furiously stroking.
Yeah, that's like a mental disorder.
Yeah, so it happens. You know.
Wait, what part of it? The whole thing?
Like when you're excited for people watching you.
Oh, that's exhibitionism. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So my point is that these stories happen on a weekly basis, and I just report them. So,
all right, well, great to hear.
Yeah,
thanks for having me.
Glad to have you back on. But if you like what you heard, go check out our website, The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Make sure to like us on Facebook, on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle, and on Instagram, at The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. But most importantly, remember to search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. That's right. We're on all the big podcast providers. You get a free episode downloaded every Thursday, so make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on a variety of podcast services.
That's right. So definitely check all of that out so that you can... that you can listen to the podcast and every new podcast that comes out every Thursday. Very important. Every Thursday you can count on a new episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get into touch with us individually, I am on Twitter at Rich Liebig, R-I-C-H-L-I-E-B-I-G.
I'm at Mikey Costanzo, M-I-K-E-Y-C-O-S-T-A-N-Z-O.
Yep, and send us links, send us any odd news you may find. We may cover it in the odd news and give you a shout out. So let us know what you want us to cover here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But for right now, I think we're going to wrap this episode up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's going to do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Bye.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, it is I, your good friend and former President Barack Obama. It's been a while. I'm joined by the leader of the ghost clergy, Cardinal Copia.
How you doing, United States of America?
No, well, I'm well, but now you may be asking yourself,
why are we here?
Well, it's 2019 and nothing makes sense anymore. But anyway, in my retirement and during his infernal time away from the clergy, we've both been listening to a few podcasts.
Ones that will make the asses wobble.
Yes, those are good ones, but we also need ones that bring us hope and change. One in particular with sports, entertainment, and odd news.
You give them a listen and a clappity clap, yes?
Yes, a round of applause for our favorite podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2019!